Welcome to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from May 24th, 1994.
From the high desert and the great American Southwest, I bid you good evening, good morning in some areas, and welcome to that first and or last hour of Coast to Coast AM PM. Which is what I guess I have to call it at this hour. There's not really much choice, is there? Well, good evening, everybody, or good morning. There's a lot of news to talk about. I've got a little bit of station keeping to do first, though, and I think you'll enjoy this. Coming up this Friday night, Saturday morning, will be a man whose name is Preston Nichols. And he will take up the story where Al Bielek left off. Preston Nichols authored a book with Al Bielek entitled The Montauk Project. And he will be here at 11 p.m. on Saturday morning. Friday night, Saturday morning's program. So I guess it would be the Philadelphia Experiment 2 for us. But it'll be a new angle on it. Preston Nichols, who also was involved in the Philadelphia Experiment. That'll be Friday night, Saturday morning, and I know a lot of you are going to look forward to that. Well, I see that former Surgeon General Bearded One, Dr. Koop, and President Carter are calling on the President to begin a $2 per pack tax on cigarettes. Great, guys, great. And they're going to try and pressure the President to go for the $2 per pack tax. Maybe one of them or both will go on a hunger strike, once again establishing more U.S. policy. And here's a little note from Seattle, Washington that I thought was appropriate under the circumstances. Art, I hear you on KVI, Hot Talk Seattle. Love it. Call, but can't get through. Thought, they can have my cigarettes when they pry them from my cold, dead lips. Keep it up, says Mike number 11. Mike number 11 in Seattle. At any rate, there it is. Koop and Carter, the C brothers, want us to have a $2 per pack tax on cigarettes. Also, down in Phoenix, Doc Berry, longtime caller, talk radio a pro, I guess you'd call him, Doc Berry, quite liberal. But we've always had a lot of fun sparring back and forth, and I know he can hear me down in Phoenix now on KFYI. Sent me a little box with two rolls of fax paper included, which I thought was very nice of Doc Berry to do. Thank you, Doc. And it says, hope the enclosed fax paper fits your machine. Yes, Doc, it does. P.S. If not, please donate to the NRA. Well, Doc, it fits, so I won't do that. But thanks for the paper. Now, the news of the day. Denny's. It was supposed to be in America's past, but here it is now. 30 years ago, they wrote the Civil Rights Law, and in it they provided great big penalties, financial ones, for companies that discriminate. At any rate, Denny's will pay millions, 46 of them, that's a big, big suit, to victims of racial discrimination. It will be distributed to black customers of Denny's. It is the largest settlement in history. So that's not a trivial matter, the biggest settlement in history. The government says it sends a message, and it does. Six black Secret Service agents in Maryland on their way to provide security for the president stopped in at Denny's and had to sit there while others were served. They will each individually receive $35,000 from the settlement. 1,000 others apparently have filed complaints that range from having to pay for food in advance, which is certainly an insult, or having to wait for a table, or having to pay some kind of cover charge to get in the first place. Well, I'll tell you, Denny's will take many corrective steps. They're going to provide all kinds of sensitivity training and such for their employees. And you have to wonder whether racial prejudice ever really is going to end in America, indeed the world. It is obviously still there, and it's pretty ugly stuff. The Trade Center, the four defendants in the bombing of the Trade Center in New York, were sentenced yesterday, and they will never see the light of day again. Six Islamic fundamentalist terrorists got forever. Plus, they each got 240 years. It is the life expectancy of the six that were killed, 1,000 injured. Their goal, apparently, had been, get this, folks, to topple the North Tower into the South Tower. Now, can you imagine, had that actually occurred, can you even imagine how many people would have been killed? It would have been thousands. At any rate, do you think this tough sentence, well, what do you think it'll do? Will it slow down terrorism, do you suppose? Well, I don't know about that one. You might assume that it will. It's a tough sentence. Or do you think there's going to be now a lot more terrorism in the United States? China, MFN, will it be canceled because of human rights violations? American-style capitalism is flourishing. It's everywhere in China. But human rights violations are everywhere in China, too. As a matter of fact, China has more in prison for political crimes than even 1 year ago. And you may recall during the campaign, President Clinton criticized President Bush for doing business, in essence, with the devil. And Mr. Clinton proclaimed proudly in an executive order that he would never do any such thing and laid out seven criterion for China to meet they have not. And so the question is, do you think that President Clinton will, to avoid embarrassment, personal embarrassment, of course, do you suppose the president will cancel the MFN, take the high road the way he said he would when he was battling against George Bush, or is he going to take what will appear to be the low road, though it would be the right road, and renew MFN for China? In Chicago, something pretty weird happened. Now, I know that all of you, just about all of you, certainly those who have fax machines, have seen one variety or another of the big practical joke that was going around called the new math, or a math test for Los Angeles, or whatever it was. It was a joke. It was the one that began, and I read part of one once on the air here as a joke, that began, quote, Johnny has an AK-47 with a 40-round clip. If he misses 6 out of 10 shots and shoots 13 times at each drive-by shooting, how many drive-by shootings can he attend before he has to reload? Well, it's just one of those joke things. If you have a fax machine, or if you ever get one, you will quickly find out these things, like stuff passed out at the office, they make their rounds on the fax circuit. And so that's all it was. Well, sure enough, some sixth grade teacher in Chicago handed this test out to a bunch of sixth graders. It asked questions like the one I read you about drive-by shootings, prostitution, drugs. Parents are outraged, and the teacher may be fired. They're in the process of trying to do that. He thought that it was a good way. I guess he knew it was a joke, but he thought somehow it would get him closer to the kids. Well, they're going to fire him. At least they're going to try. And I wonder if you think this teacher ought to be canned for doing that. I mean, the parents were going wild. They were saying, my God, when I was young, we had little math tests about bananas or this or that, whatever it was. You remember the school texts and books. And here this guy hands out something like this, and the parents went ballistic, of course. Well, Mexico is in some deep turmoil. NBC did a story in Mexico yesterday. PRI party there has never lost a presidential election. It just might this time. There, of course, was the revolt in Chiapas. The bombings they've had down there. The PRI nominee, as you know, was assassinated up in Tijuana. There was allegedly ballot fraud in the last election. The next one comes up in 3 months in Mexico. Mexico is at a very critical juncture indeed. They will either move toward democracy or, in my opinion, have a revolution. The Mexican economy, on the plus side, is improving, thanks to NAFTA. As a matter of fact, they did quite a significant story on it. Listen carefully here, Chuck Carter. We now have 50% of the Mexican car market. Ford is beginning to sell cars in Mexico like it's going out of style. And you may want to rethink the way you feel about NAFTA. So far, no great negative effects that can be documented here, certainly, despite all the fears of those. And it looks as though both countries are beginning to prosper. Ford certainly is. The American car companies, producing a better product, are now beginning to show a profit. And so it looks as though it's, so far anyway, turning out pretty well. Surprise, surprise. NBC did a two-hour special last night on a subject that I found riveting, fascinating, interesting. It was entitled Angels, the Mysterious Messengers. And I did a program not long ago on Guardian Angels on Dreamland. And this should have been on the air before I did the one on Dreamland. But it wasn't. There were stories told from World War I right on through today about angels intervening, entities, if you will, which step in at a moment of stress or mortal danger or death, and they seem to walk in on all ages, all walks of life. One woman, I tell you, my spine began the old familiar tingle at the story of one particular woman who was about to go into a building, and she said, I felt a hand on my shoulder trying to stop me, and I kept going. And she got up near the steps of the building, and she said, and the hand came back to my shoulder and held it hard and held me back and said, I wouldn't go in there right now or just at this moment. Well, she didn't. Instead, she went across the street to a church and once again was spoken to by this angel. When she walked back outside, there were ambulances and police cars all over the place. And across the street in the building to which she was going to go, there had just been a murder. A woman had been killed in an elevator. So there you've got it. I thought we would talk a little bit about angels, if any of you happen to catch that. Do you conclude after watching that program that angels are real? Real? Or are they some sort of hallucination brought on by stressful times? Certainly, when you're close to dying, it would be called a very stressful time, wouldn't it? So, Dr. Koop and President Carter want to raise the price of cigarettes by $2 per pack, huh? Just what I wanted to hear this morning. And then this, I read to you yesterday, and I want to touch on it again, because we should have pulled a lot more from this story than we did. The Clinton administration is working on creating an identification card that every American is going to need to interact with any federal government agency. The card initiative came into the forefront at last month's Card Tech Secure Tech conference in Crystal City, Virginia, as federal agencies, including U.S. Postal Service and the IRS, began detailing their various proposals. At the gathering, where security experts convened to discuss business and government applications for, quote, smart card and PCMCIA memory card technologies, the Postal Service presented a proposal for a general-purpose U.S. services smart card, which individuals and companies would use to authenticate their identities when sending and receiving email, transferring funds, and interacting with various government agencies. Sources close to the administration said President Clinton is also considering signing a pair of executive orders that would facilitate the connection if individuals' bank accounts and federal records to a government identification card. White House officials declined comment. The Postal Service U.S. card would use either smart cards, plastic cards that carry a unique number that can be read by a scanner and linked to computerized records stored on a network, or what are called PCMIA cards, which can contain megabytes of personal information. And so my question from this, in other words, if we are all to get a card that will allow us to interact favorably with the federal government, if it were to stop fraud, welfare fraud, just about any kind of fraud you can name, and there's plenty of it, we all know, if it could stop illegal immigration by giving you identification as a U.S. citizen, and many other problems, would you accept one of these cards? Or would you regard such a card as the mark of the beast? And would you say, no, I will not. Keep that card away from me. The Fox Network has made an acquisition that will allow it to steal a lot of some of the best affiliates from primarily CBS. Eight major CBS affiliates are defecting to the Fox Network. Other big ones: WJBK TV Detroit, WJW Cleveland, WAGA Atlanta, WTVT Tampa, and WITI Milwaukee. Big affiliates, all defecting to the Fox Network. So the landscape of the networks is certainly changing. Television is, in general, is changing. And I guess the networks are looking at becoming dinosaurs. All right, well, that's a couple of pieces of food for thought. And I thought we would go ahead and get started. Again, coming up this Friday night, Saturday morning, it'll be Preston Nichols, co-author of the Montauk Project. And he'll tell us about the Montauk Project and kind of pick up where Al Bielek left off. So that should be a fascinating, truly a fascinating program. I don't want you to miss it. Make a note of it. Do whatever you have to do. But as they say in the car racing world, be here. Maybe be there. Whatever it is. I never am. I don't attend automobile racing, but I remember the commercials vividly from years and years and years of rock and roll radio. Here we break. Back we'll come with two-way talk radio from the high desert. This is Coast to Coast AM.
This is Premier Networks. That was Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM on this Somewhere in Time. Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from May 24th, 1994.
And good morning, all. It should be an interesting morning. Lots and lots to talk about, as I think I just documented. It's a wild world out there, isn't it? And it seems to be getting wilder by the day, but that's all right. Makes talk radio all the more interesting. Telephone lines are open, and I'm ready. You're on the air on the wild card line. Good morning.
Hi, Art.
Hello.
Yeah, three or four things I'd like to talk about. First off, I don't think the terrorists got a stiff enough sentence. I think they should have got the death penalty. I hope the crime bill adds the death penalty for any terrorists that come here and kill Americans in the future.
Well, there is, though it was a federal crime, and I suppose technically they might have received it, I know there's no death penalty in New York.
I know, but if the crime bill establishes a death penalty for any foreign terrorists that come to America, the United States of America, and kill Americans, then that would take precedence over what New York has.
Well, that's true, and I, too, think it ought to be that way. Six people lost their lives, 1,000 injured, property damage you can't believe. Yes, I think it would be justified.
And they could be in prison for a while, and some of their buddies could hijack or skyjack a Boeing 747 in Europe and start shooting passengers until we release them.
Yeah, I know.
And then they don't do very much time. So if we give them the death penalty, then it's over. Period.
Well, I don't think we would ever release them. But I too, can imagine release the New York 4 or else kind of deal.
Now, on the national ID card, I would be for that, and I don't consider that the mark of the beast. But if they ever want to put something on my right hand or my forehead, I would draw the line at that. I would say no, and I would take up a gun and shoot the first person that tried.
Well, how about a very long, skinny needle in the ear?
Nothing.
No, hey, you're not going for that.
Anything
either.
On me. The mark of the beast though, goes on your right hand or forehead.
Mm-hmm.
One other thing I wanted to mention. At Jackie Kennedy's funeral yesterday,
yes,
I saw John Kennedy Jr. reading from the Bible, and do you know he read that exact part that describes the rapture?
Hmm.
I could paraphrase it for you real fast.
All right, if you wish.
Okay, it says something to the fact that the Lord Jesus shall descend from heaven to the clouds of earth, and the dead shall rise up first, and then the living shall be caught up with them in the clouds, and there they shall meet Jesus and be with him forever.
Well, I imagine it's going to be a frightful sight for the living watching the dead rise up.
It'll happen in the blink of an eye, though. That's the thing. And that's about 1/1,000th of a second. Now, that's in 1 Corinthians. This, though, the part he read, was 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 and 17. He started a little bit before then, though.
Mm-hmm. All right.
He mentioned that. He did mention that. And
While I've got you, do you believe in angels?
Yes, I do, because the Bible describes angels.
Did you happen to see that program?
I did see the end of it, yes.
Boy, I'll tell you, it was something else. Thank you very much. Every now and then, there is something that comes along that just puts a chill right down my spine. And there were a couple of times watching that when I definitely got that effect. I mean, just a kind of, you know, that chill that goes right down the spine and kind of spreads out. It got to me. I, too, think there may be something to this angel business. Hello there on the toll-free line. You're on the air.
Hey, all right, let me kill my radio here.
Kill it, yes.
Oh, good evening.
Give it life plus 100. Good evening, sir.
How are you?
Just fine.
Good. Angels.
Yes.
Yes. I believe that I encountered an angel about 4 years ago. I was crossing a road in order to retrieve a hubcap that I had lost from my car. And in doing so, I was hit by another car that was traveling at about 45 miles an hour. But anyway, I flew up over this girl's car and felt myself being caught and lowered to the ground.
Wow.
Yes. And then my father was with me. He saw the whole thing in his rearview mirror.
He saw you? Well, exactly what happened. You went up into the air, and part of the way down, you were suddenly as if you were caught?
Yes, and lowered gently to the ground.
And your father witnessed that?
He did not. He saw me get hit, and I'm not sure if he noticed how far I flew or anything like that. And he didn't see, you know, any physical being at all. But after I was laying on the ground on my back, then he held my head in his lap.
It was a guy angel.
Yeah. Held my head in his lap and was singing. And then the ambulances got there, and he was gone. Anyhow, later I asked my father about him, and he said, "What man?" But,
Well, I'll ask you what all the critics ask. Is it possible that you were under a stressful condition, hallucinating?
It was just too real.
I mean, I'm sure you ask yourself that question.
I have asked myself that question, and I've played it over about a million times.
Sure.
And it was just too real, but I just remember everything too vividly, and it was just, and I just remember, you know, how much of a peace I felt and everything when
you know, see,
he
that's
was there.
Okay, that's exactly the kind of stories they were telling on this program last night.
Mm-hmm.
And I must say I was impressed. Maybe I'm easily impressed, or maybe it is that I want to believe. You know, that could be true.
Yes.
But it seems like there's too many stories.
That's it. And, you know, like, That's exactly my point. I mean, I can see the skeptic's point of view, but you know, until you've experienced it, it's just too real, and you know, too many people experience the same kinds of feelings. You know what I'm saying? It's almost like with the UFOs and aliens. You know, all these people that describe the exact same thing that have never met. You know, it's kind of almost like the same scenario.
I appreciate your call, sir.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Take care. Well, there you have it. There's the story about an angel. Now, what do you believe about that? Do you think he was hallucinating in some moment of mortal stress? And certainly it would have been that. What do you believe? Angels real or just the concoction of a stressed mind? I don't know. There was a story also on the program last night about a little girl who was dying of cancer, and she'd gone through the usual chemotherapy, I'm sure, and radiation therapy, and, you know, the god-awful stuff they put you through. And her body was wrecked. And she was in the process of dying, and everybody knew it. And she was visited by a series of angels. A whole series of angels. And the angels took her to heaven and showed her what it was going to be like. And then finally one angel came, which assisted her, she said, or was going to, or I guess did assist her in dying. And so do you believe in all that stuff, or is it the concoction of a mind facing something that is so fearful, so unknown, that the mind itself, the id, concocts a story that it will be comfortable with? What do you think the truth is? Wild card line, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. I'd like to ask a question.
Okay. Where are you?
I'm in Columbia, Missouri.
Columbia, Missouri. Okay.
Do I need to turn my radio down?
Well, yes, you do.
Just a minute.
All right. That'd be KFRU, I think, in Columbia, Missouri.
Okay.
All right.
The thing you were talking about that card the government wants us to have.
One card.
How come everyone is so concerned about welfare fraud, about, you know, illegal immigrants, and they're not concerned about the white middle-class people who avoid their taxes,
mm-hmm.
the white middle-class people who abuse their children. They're
mm-hmm.
always after. They're always after the minorities. They're always after the lower classes, and they do all these little things. They get cards to make sure that no one cheats. But they do nothing to protect people from the upper, you know, the upper classes who are cheating and doing the same things because they have all the money.
Well, money rules. I don't deny that. It's true. What about the card? I mean, surely there is a lot of fraud, and surely a million or 2 million illegal aliens in this country are a hurtful thing. So
I don't believe they're that hurtful.
Oh, okay.
I think there are a lot more hurtful things going on in our society. There are people manufacturing bombs. There's a military that is supporting something like the School of the Americas. There are some really hurtful things going on in our country, more than some illegal aliens who are coming so they can send money back to their families in places like Mexico so their families can survive.
So you
Why
think...
don't we protect ourselves against the corporations who are embezzling money? I mean, why are we so concerned about the lower classes and so concerned about minorities?
Well, I know you can serve it up the way you are, which is a compassionate way. But in fact, if you look at all the money we spend, about two-thirds of it to three-quarters goes for the kind of programs that you're talking about, a big part of our budget.
But doesn't a big part of our budget go for the defense, too?
Well, defense has been scaled back drastically, and it's continuing to go down. No, most of our budget goes for social programs and paying back the debt that we've incurred.
But does that mean that a lot of people who are in the upper classes in our society, maybe because their money is private or in private corporations, why do we excuse that so much? Why do we excuse white middle-class crime? Or why don't we feel it's that important to go after?
Well, I think that it is. And why we excuse it is because our society is, in fact, balanced on the side of the rich and the powerful. It is.
That is a
fault or a benefit of capitalism. I don't know which the answer is, but it is a true statement. I don't deny it.
So what do you propose to do about it?
Well, I'll tell you, most revolutions that have occurred in the world occur when the middle class, the great middle class, is no longer more or less satisfied. Revolutions rarely occur where you have a big middle class in any society. So it will eventually take care of itself. If things get too far out of proportion, there will be a revolution. If the middle class basically gets too unhappy, there will be a revolution. And I suppose it's a self-correcting process. Other than that, I don't know what to tell you.
Well, thanks. And the other thing I want to throw out, maybe to listeners, is the concept of a single-payer health care plan, what people think about that.
All right, thank you. Actually, I'm not in favor of that. That, of course, is out-and-out socialism. However, I have frequently thought that a single-payer plan might be better than what it is that President Clinton is presently proposing. It's so damn complicated and screws everything up. If we're going to do it, we might as well do it with a simple single-payer plan. On the toll-free line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I'm calling from Phoenix, Arizona. I'm listening on KFYI.
KFYI, yes, indeed.
And I'm calling to talk about the card.
Oh, the card.
Yeah.
Yes, okay. Is your radio off, sir?
No, it's on.
Would you turn it off, please?
Sure.
Thank you.
Oh, okay.
Go ahead.
The national card.
Yes.
Smacks of what happened, you know, Nazi Germany had a national card.
Papers, please.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And they took and used that to control the people. They used that so that you went here and there, but not over there where you weren't allowed.
Yeah. Organ
of oppression.
Yeah, you're calling from Phoenix, right?
Yes.
Phoenix is in the great American Southwest, and Phoenix is closer than am I to the Mexican border and greatly affected by illegal immigration. How important is it that we do something about that?
Well, illegal immigration, it does hurt the country, yes.
Mm.
But that is not a reason to start risking the rights of Americans. As Abraham Lincoln said, those who trade rights for security neither of them.
Right. Exactly right. All right, sir. Well, I take your comment, and I thank you, and it is yet another comment to mention to the card business. I don't know. There's a lot of ills that would be controllable with such a card. A lot of crime would be eliminated. Welfare cheating would be eliminated. A lot of cheating the government, period, would be eliminated. Illegal immigration could be taken care of. At least we'd have the right to ask who's an American citizen and who is not. But there would be a trade-off, wouldn't there? There might be more comfort. There might be more security for the average citizen, even economic security. I mean, you look at California, and they're spending about $3 billion a year on illegal immigrants. That amounts to about a tenth of the total state budget. They're going broke. They are going broke. They cannot continue to do it. So something's got to be done. Here is a proposal to do it. What do you think about it? So far, kind of a mixed reaction. On the toll-free line, you're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi there.
How are you doing? I'm glad that Angel Show thrilled you.
It did, yes.
Oh, my. I think that angels are for real.
Do you?
I do. I think that the natural result of fear is destructive.
Would you turn your radio off for me, dear?
I will.
Thank you. Everybody, please do that. When you get on the air, turn your radio off all the way. All right.
Okay, I'll be right back with you.
All right. Well, I'll wait. You just really have to do that. You have to get the radios turned down, or it will confuse you. It will make you
sound confused. I'm afraid there's several radios on.
Several?
Several. but anyway, the natural result of fear, so the question is it a hallucination, a fantasy, a hope, et cetera?
That's right.
And so, but generally speaking, when we fear things and our stress usually results in destructive processes. The encounters with angels relieve fear and results in constructive processes.
Well, why would it not be reasonable to assume that it is a protective mechanism of the mind, which is not at that moment looking for negative, but any way in the world out?
The mind physiologically would have to assume that there is no way out. And so once it makes that assumption, it must enter into another dimension of reality. I think that much of the world is like our physical, much of ourselves is like our physical world, you know, where there's all this huge 75% is ocean and man lives on 25% of land.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're 75% spiritual, but we focus so much on our bodies.
On the physical,
the Mexicans,
that's true.
The legal aliens, they're just people,
you know? Right.
But I don't know. I'm pretty sure that it's real because of the effect that it has on people's lives, and that when the mind is so convinced of death and destruction, and yet still it results in life and hope, then you have to give it some credence, even if you can't measure it. You can measure it by its results.
Where are you, pray tell?
I'm in Salem, Oregon.
Salem, Oregon. Well, I really appreciate your call and your point of view, and I hope that you are correct.
Well, you can know that you're right, too, because that tingling that went up and down your spine?
Yes.
That's the ringing the bell of truth in your heart.
Well, maybe. Maybe. I'm not sure about that. All right. Thank you very much for the call. I'm not sure about that. Because I've had similar tinglings when I've seen ghost stories. It is a kind of a thing that occurs in me when, to use the street jargon, I'm kind of freaked out a little bit. And it's the familiar tingle of the unknown mixed with a little bit of fear and a lot of other things. So I'm not sure that I agree. And like so many things in my life, I don't know, and so I can't say for sure. I hope that it is true. I hope there are angels. And I suspect there may be, but I'm not positive. But then I guess that's what it's all about, and that's why we investigate areas like this. And that, by the way, is what Dreamland on Sunday evenings is all about. We'll be back.
The trip back in time continues with Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM. Premier Networks presents Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from May 24, 1994.
Welcome into the best talk radio in the nighttime, growing like crazy. New affiliates all the time now. Be telling you about some more shortly. Welcome at any rate into open line talk radio. We don't screen calls here. We just take them as they come in. And I don't know too many others that do that, but it's a fun way to do it, and they don't know what they're missing. All right. We've got a lot to talk about this morning, and I'll brush you up on it, because I know a lot of you are just joining at this hour. And I've got a fax here from Doc Berry that I want to read. He sent me several on this subject, and he's referencing my comments on the cutback of the military. And he says, you did it again, telling a caller that we have cut back on the military drastically. The defense budget has been cut by less than 7%. You keep repeating a lie that drastic and huge cuts in defense have happened. You lie to your audience, and you keep doing it. Doc Berry, Phoenix. No, Doc, I have a very different take on it. And I do think that the military has been cut back on drastically. And I have a lot of reasons to believe that, Doc. I think the figure is more like 25% than 7%. In terms of budget cutback, in terms of actual cutback in the military, believe me, Doc, we have cut way back. Look at the base closures. Look at the early retirements. Look at the people that are just being discharged for the good of the service, or at the convenience of the service. No, Doc, I think we have cut back drastically, and I firmly believe that. And I think we're going to find out. I hope we don't find out. But I have a deep fear, and I'm telling you the truth now, that if we get involved in Korea, which I'm afraid is ultimately inevitable, this administration is going to put it off for as long as they can, raising the price ultimately, in my opinion. But when we finally get involved in Korea, somebody's going to open up a second front. Somebody like Saddam Hussein or the colonel or somebody or another is going to do it. Then we'll find out. There's news this morning that Dr. Koop, the bearded one, and President Carter are getting together to urge the president, to pressure the president. Who knows, maybe they'll even go on a hunger strike, to raise the price of cigarettes $2 a pack. $2 a pack on top of what they already cost. And I got this little letter that I thought was so appropriate from somebody in Seattle, just a note, Art. I hear you on KVI, Hot Talk Seattle, love it. Call, but can't get through. Thought, they can have my cigarettes when they pry them from my cold, dead lips. Keep it up, Mike number 11. By the way, does anybody have any more news? I went off the air yesterday trying to find out about that disease in England that so many of you were telling me about, and I can't find it on CNN. I can't find it on the wire services. I just can't find out anything about it. But that's not unusual for this kind of a story, is it? Tell you what we're mostly talking about this morning. The news on Denny's, of course, the $46 million Denny's has got to pay to their black customers. The Trade Center sentencing. Those four terrorists are going away forever and ever. Most favored nation treatment for China. That's been one. You know that fax joke that was going around about the new math test? Well, guess what? A teacher in Chicago gave it to a bunch of sixth graders. Parents are outraged. They're talking about firing the teacher. Talking about Mexico a little bit, the unrest in Mexico, but mostly we have been talking, and about the card. The card the Clinton administration apparently is considering issuing to everybody in America. One people, one card, and the U.S. Postal Service, as a matter of fact, has made a presentation about distributing the national identity cards. It would stop many ills, illegal immigration, many other problems, fraud of all kinds. It is a card you would use whenever it would be your Fed card. That's right, the Fed card. Maybe that's what they ought to call it, the Fed card. Maybe I've just coined it. It would take care of many things, but a lot of people think it would be the mark of the beastie. And so you may want to comment on that. And the show on angels has received all kinds of comment. I saw it on NBC. I hope you did. It was called Angels, the Mysterious Messengers. And it documented all the way from World War I right on through today, times when people have been visited by angels, certainly on the battlefield, in hospital rooms, at accident scenes, to the dying, all kinds of incidents in which angels have intervened. Do you believe it? Or do you think it is the trick of a mind faced with a mortal situation? Eminently mortal. I don't know. You tell me. All right, so that's kind of a catch-up on what we've been talking about. Back to the lines. On the wild card line, you're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning, Art. I'm calling from Bakersfield.
Bakersfield, KNZR, yes.
I wondered if you had a chance to watch Dateline NBC tonight also, on alien abductions.
No, you know, I missed that one.
Oh, that's a shame. It was interesting. Actually, though, I believe 48 hours pretty much covered this piece. It was like a copycat piece. But
I see.
I noticed on Angels that I believe his name is Dr. Raymond Moody.
Right.
I thought that was interesting. You've had him on your show.
Yes, I have.
I wanted to comment mostly on the Denny's incident. I understand that they've settled a lawsuit and everything today, right?
Right.
Well, here in Bakersfield today, our news station put on a segment where an NBC cameraman, actually who I personally know, he's an American Indian, I believe, we went into Denny's, and he had to prepay for his meal.
Yeah, that's one of the complaints, and some of the people who file complaints and lawsuits will get a piece of that money.
And you know what, I can't believe, because there's certain Denny's my husband and I happen to frequent all the time at all hours of the night, and him and I actually have a certain amount of Indian blood in us, and I'm sure a lot of people do. I just can't believe that in this day and age this is going on. It shocked me.
It is shocking. I agree with you. It is shocking. And I kind of wondered, you know, I thought, well, this is an important story, but what angle do I take on it earlier tonight? And what I thought of is, will it ever end, either in America or worldwide? We've got enough things that divide us already. Why in the hell do we have to be divided by skin color?
I don't know. There's nothing to dislike about people than their skin color.
It's such a waste, god-awful waste of energy and time and productivity and even arguing about things that really matter. Just a waste.
You bet. I wanted to ask you also, what was your take on the Angels program? How did it make you feel? Because I just tuned in at 12 and I noticed you were talking.
Yeah, I guess my answer would be it left me hopeful. I'm a terrible doubter. I hate to say it, but I am. It left me hopeful. It left me, it scared me a couple of times. Not scared me. Put a chill up my spine, whatever it is that does that. It put a big one right up my spine.
Well, it made me wonder. It just made me wonder. I just, for some reason, though, I think there's a higher source than the angels. The angels, to me, are more like foot soldiers, and they're working for somebody else, you know?
Well, yeah, but, I mean, the boss is a big guy.
Yeah.
All right, thank you very much.
Thanks,
for the call. Bye. I don't know. I'm searching my feelings about it. I am so intrigued by it and so pulled to it. That's why we're doing Dreamland. Dreamland is kind of a pet of mine because these are areas that I'm really struggling with, and I have been for years, and they're areas that are fascinating to me. There must be something after this life. On balance, I believe there is. It's evidence, certainly, that demands a verdict, isn't it? All of these areas, things that we don't know about. Things that we may not know about only because of the great noise level of the day, every day. But that doesn't mean they're not there. On the toll-free line, you're on the air. Hi. Hello there. Going once, twice, gone. On the first-time caller line, you're on the air. Good morning.
Art.
Yes.
My name is Jerry. I'm from Denver, Colorado. Listen to you on KNUS.
KNUS Denver. Yes. Hi, Jerry.
Yeah. I called to make a couple comments on, first, the part about the angels.
Yes.
I really believe the last lady that you just talked to she spoke about that the angels are the foot soldiers.
Right.
And I kind of sort of believe along that lines that God, I believe in God. I believe in pretty fundamental Bible believing. Believe that God created the angels and below him, and man's created below the angels, and that we are spiritual beings with a body. And
but angels are not the departed.
No, they are not.
Right.
They are. It's kind of like their. I believe that their spirits are immortal, as are ours.
And yet, sir, a lot of the angels that appear to people come as visions of the departed relatives and so forth.
Yeah, and there's a lot of it to me that is a mystery, as it is with you.
Yes.
But at the same time, I really believe, from just my own digging through the Bible, that there's two forces out there, if you believe like I do, and I'm a real believer in the whole conspiracy theory that there's a battle going on out there, and the Bible says that that it's a spiritual battle. It's not something that's fought in with our flesh and bones, but it's a spiritual thing that's going on.
Well, I do think that the lady who said that we are much more spiritual than we imagine or know, I think she's right.
Yes, I believe that that we are. You know, there's been many, many studies on how little of our brain power that we actually into and use.
Oh, yes.
And, you know, there's a lot of discussion about why that is. And without going into my whole dissertation on that, I really believe that we are spiritual beings. The force that gives us life is very mysterious.
Well, there's two ways to look at it.
Mm-hmm.
Either the human mind once used a lot more of its brain and now is actually using less, kind of depressing,
mm-hmm.
or the other way around, that we are progressing, that evolution continues with the hand of God, thank you, and that we will eventually use more and more of our brain. That's a more pleasant one to believe.
That's maybe the more pleasant, but I tend to agree with the first. That that at one time,
yes.
You know, if you believe in a literal translation, that at one time man did
yes.
have that full use and capacity of his brain.
Well, that's depressing. I mean, that means that we are, in effect, devolving and not evolving.
But it also means that, how do I say this?
But that might be true. As our spiritual selves become less, maybe we are devolving. I mean, here we've got all these young people walking around with blank stares and big guns, right?
Mm-hmm.
And people seem to care not very much about life or understand the spiritual aspect of life.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe it's true. Maybe we're devolving.
Yeah. I don't know, the word evolve and devolve. I think that maybe more and more desensitized over, over centuries.
Well, all right, but the end result is devolvement.
That's true.
All right, sir. Thank you very much for the call. That's a good call. And what do the rest of you think? Are we devolving? Is that even a word? Is that a good word, devolve? Are we devolving? From a societal or a civilization point of view, I think you could document that I guess we are. Maybe he's right. Maybe mankind is using less and less of its brain. And we're actually all sort of dumbing down. Gee. Wild Card Line, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hello, Art from Wichita, Kansas.
Wichita. Yes, and your radio station there is?
KFH, 1330.
KFH, yes, sir.
I'd like to talk about angels. I believe in angels myself.
Did you see the program?
No, I didn't. I missed that program, unfortunately.
2-hour special. It was really good.
Yes. One thing I might leave with you about that is just the Bible says to behold the firmament because it shows the handiwork of God.
Right.
And also I'd like to talk about the, what, your quote-unquote, the card.
The card.
Yeah. I don't know if it's specifically necessary to have a card now. I mean, like here in Kansas, they're issuing driver's licenses that have your Social Security number on them.
Well, here it's even a little stranger than that. Everybody objected to Social Security numbers being on driver's licenses in Nevada. So you know what they did? They came up with this formula, and they said, all right, here's your new number. It is not your Social Security number. But there is a mathematical formula, a little addition and subtraction you can do, and when you do it, you get the person's Social Security number.
So either way, you get the number.
That's right, exactly right.
And I've heard through that number, you can pretty much find anybody or track them.
Pretty much. In other words, these days, if you've got a job or you've got a loan or you've got financial dealings of any magnitude at all, your Social Security number is registered.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it affects us quite a bit. It's kind of scary, some of the things they can do with these numbers.
So then if they already have us by the number, is it really an awful thing if we get another card with another number?
Probably not. But I think it would make it just that much easier. You know, it would kind of catch some of the people that are out there on the fringes, maybe.
There's no question about it. Thank you, sir, for the call. That's Kansas. Dorothy country. Wizard of Oz country. I will always so think of Kansas, and most people do, and I bet it annoys the tar out of the people who live in Kansas. But isn't that what you think of when you think of Kansas? Dorothy clicking her heels. It is neat country. Nice, tall, wheat, endless wheat fields. It's a very interesting country. On the wild card line, you're on the air. Hello.
Good morning, Art Phoenix.
Yes, sir. KFYI.
Yep. I'm glad that they made that smart choice to get on the air.
Thank you.
That way I don't have to wait till 2 in the morning.
Right.
Anymore.
That's true.
But I was going to say... you had a caller talking about... Oh, first of all, I had a question for you. I've been taking a break from the headlines, so to speak, about... I heard that Colombia legalized drugs.
It did, yes.
Okay, all right. I just want to confirm that. Second of all, I heard a caller talking about we shouldn't be worrying about the lower class and the programs and all that. Did I get to hear that right?
In other words, she was complaining about the card, and she was saying, look, why are we always going after the people who might be cheating on welfare or the people at the lower strata, one way or the other, taking advantage of the system when we have all these corporations, according to her, ripping everybody off? Why don't we go after that crime?
Okay, well, instead of not paying your taxes, right, if people like thinking about doing that,
right.
How about, like, fighting the waste? Now, I feel a lot better now because just like today, okay, it happened Friday, but today I took care of the problem. I think I did anyway. I tried to help this woman, okay? She said she had no food, and but she was trying to sell me food stamps, okay?
Right, right.
$160 worth of food stamps for $25, okay?
I see.
I said, I don't do that. That's illegal. And for all I know, it's a federal offense. And then she says, well, I got some stuff I want to sell, some movies, okay? So I said, fine, I'll buy you movies. I got to go, okay? So I said, you know, put them, in other words, to make a long story short, she ripped me off, okay? Now, I found out that she's the one, for sure, with proof that she ripped me off.
Well, let me say this to you. Why would you buy anything from anybody who had first...
Well, she said she was...
Who had first offered you food stamps and proven that she was willing to commit a crime?
Well,
I mean, you kind of walked into that one.
Well, maybe I did, but... See, I feel sorry for people. And
I know.
I've learned my lesson not to help anyone.
You know what? Let me tell you. Same thing happened to me. I was at a little 7-Eleven in Las Vegas. This lady came to me with this terrible story with a child...
Yep.
Said she needed to get back to California. Oh, please, please, would you help me? Give me some money. I'll send it back to you. I said, okay. I think I gave her $35, and I expected she was with her child on the way to California. Next night, went back to the same place. There she was, hustling somebody with the exact same story.
It makes me feel real bad inside, don't
I? I couldn't believe it.
And I got a whole different outlook on helping people, but the law... What I did was, she had my property and she knew it. Her live-in boyfriend, whatever, told me that she had it. And so I reported her to the government, the Section 8 program.
You turned her in.
Yeah.
Vengeance is mine, saith the caller. I've got to run. Thank you, sir. Coming up on the bottom of the hour.
This is Premier Networks. That was Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM on this Somewhere in Time. Somewhere in Time.
Welcome back to the best talk radio of the nighttime. A couple of faxes, both of them good. Listen to this from Joe at KCMO. Unbelievable. That's Kansas City Art. Sci-fi virus. CNN today carried a story of a sci-fi-like E. coli virus that killed six people in, I believe, Scotland. Death within 24 hours of contraction. It liquidates 1 inch of muscle or fat per hour. They have been amputating limbs in a futile attempt to stop it. This is even more eerie to me than an atomic war. Is it possible this is ecologically produced or released by accident from one of these experimental labs that really don't exist? Yes, Joe, it's possible. And I had not heard the details of that story, but, God, that's horrifying. So if any of the rest of you can confirm the essential facts of the story I just read you, I would appreciate it. But that sounds pretty frightening. Not with a bang, but with a whimper, right? And then there is this. Hello, Art. I heard on the radio today that the St. Louis police have initiated a new crime prevention program whereby the officers are doing door-to-door in poor neighborhoods, door-to-door asking the residents to sign a paper giving them permission to have their homes searched. Ostensibly, the police are searching for guns. It was reported that the people are being told that if they refuse to sign the release allowing their homes to be searched, they should be aware of the fact their names will be on a list and they will be watched. Is this true? I have a lot of listeners in St. Louis, and I want to know if this is true. So there are a couple of more terribly important items for you to comment on. Boy. You see, this is going too far. This is going too far as I'm concerned. It's one of those things that's on the edge. But I believe that somebody should quickly rule this as unconstitutional if they are really doing it. Why? Because I think there's an element of intimidation involved. A big element. And I think that's wrong. Sign here. Oh, well, you don't have to. But if you don't sign, well, then obviously we're going to conclude that there is something you have to hide and you're going to be watched. No, that's going too far for my taste. On the toll-free line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
This is Marie calling from Sun Lakes, Arizona.
Marie, turn your radio off.
Okay, I just did.
Thank you.
I have one of those telephones that when you pick up, well, the radio goes off, so I had to go out to the car and get my portable because I couldn't get through for 2 hours.
I see. Well, you've made it now. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. I wanted to, am I on the air now?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I wanted to make a comment on, one, the cigarettes. Don't worry about the $2 tax because this is going to be a boon for the black market. They can go to all of the Indian reservations and other places and just get them for tax-free, so I'm sure they'll deliver some to you.
Well, maybe, but, you know, if they do this, I'm sure they're going to have to figure a way to stop the black market from the reservations, aren't they?
Yeah, well, they're not doing it so far. But another comment I wanted to make on the one about the military.
Yes.
Ask the young man about the closing of Oakland base, Army base there.
Yes.
And Long Beach Navy Station.
Yes.
Fort Ord, Fort Dix, McCord.
I know.
The Presidio at Monterey.
I know.
And I understand the Presidio at San Francisco, that Gorbachev has an office there. Is that correct?
That is correct. He has an office in the Presidio, yes.
Going Norton Air Force Base. And now they're spending about $3 million renovating a base in Michigan that is scheduled for closure.
Well, Doc Barry insists that's his name, that it's only a 7% cutback, and I don't believe that at all. He thinks that I'm intentionally misleading the audience. Thank you very much for the call. That I am lying to you all when I'm suggesting these are severe cutbacks. Well, I believe they are. And I believe that it's easily documented, and the budget has certainly been cut back more than 7%. And if you look at the plan, I think it's in the next 5 years, is it? It was planned to be cut back by 25%. And those are the words of Dick Cheney, who was warning against continuing the process. As I said, early retirements, people separated for the, quote, good of the service, and all kinds of things. So I think that, indeed, there has been more of a cutback than 7%, and I worry if we become involved. Toll-free line, you're on the air. Hello.
Yeah, all right. I'm calling out of Tucson.
KTUC in Tucson.
Yeah, that's it. Just wanted to bring up a thing. I don't know what you're talking about because you don't come on here for another 20 minutes or so.
Oh.
But anyway, what I was going to get at, we seem to have a problem in the U.S., we got too many people on the right, like yourself, too many people on the left, like myself, who don't want to come to a happy medium, come to the middle. Unfortunately, I voted for Mr. Clinton, and I am a Democrat, and I'm a liberal. And I haven't been real happy with everything he's done so far.
Are you disappointed?
On a lot of the things he's done, yes. I think he's going to make a disastrous mistake in Haiti.
Yeah.
And I'm in the military. Matter of fact, I did the Desert Shield, Desert Storm thing, and Desert Calm, and just got back from Provide Hope. And we sit out here, we're stretching ourselves way too thin. We got leaders in the military right now who want to cut us. We got people in the Senate, both sides, that want to cut the military all to pieces.
I agree.
And we're hurting ourselves.
We do that, in America, sir, we do that every time we get into a period of peace or generally following a war. As soon as you can forget about what it was like, you begin cutting back, and it's always peace in our time. And I think that same thing is going on right now, and it's dangerous.
It's extremely dangerous, and you have some fringes out here that want to take away all, to me, what appears to be all of our constitutional rights. Then you have other people who want to go so far as to take up arms and virtually destroy the Constitution by going to Washington, what was it you said, the 9th of September.
All right.
And, you know, go off the deep end arresting people or putting them on trial when they have no authority to do this.
Right.
And it's kind of scary. You know, it's getting real scary, and you hear more and more people taking up this thought. And
everybody who would fight our government one way or the other, and the government, in other words, every side in what would amount to a war, would claim they're doing it for the Constitution.
Well, you once took an oath to uphold the Constitution.
That's correct.
I'm presently still abiding by that oath. No matter how screwy some of our leaders may be, I still gotta go with that. In closing, I'd like to say, I don't agree with everything you have to say, but I don't agree with a lot of the lunatics like Charlie and some of the other people you have call. I have to say either, but I really enjoy your show and just wish you came on here when you came on the line. Normally, I hate missing, you know, 2 or 3 hours of your show each night.
I understand. Well, give KTUC a call when you can.
All right. Have a good night, sir.
Thank you very much, and good morning. You know, I know. I wish we were on a little earlier in Tucson as well, but all things in good time. You're on the wild card line. You're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning, Art.
Yes, sir.
Bryce, Wichita.
Wichita, yes.
Yeah, the one caller that talked about de-evolution, you know?
I was the guy, I think, who brought it up. Are we devolving, you know?
Yeah, I think we are. I think all the major religions, if you study religion at all, teach that, you know, Hinduism talks about the Kali Yuga, we're in the Dark Age right now. Christianity talks about, you know, the end of the world, you know, as far as the...
Yes.
Buddhism has the same kind of things, and American Indians have the same kind of things. I think, you know, all the traditional religions point to that, that kind of de-evolution. I don't think evolution's ever been proven. The one thing that people seem to be getting into, well, the one guy that wrote the book Genesis Revisited.
Well, that's kind of depressing. I mean, we're getting dumber, we're getting less civilized, we're getting less, and that's depressing.
Well, not really.
I find it so. I would like to think we're beginning to use more brain capacity, that our spirits and our spiritual natures are getting greater and not lesser, and, you know, all the positive stuff.
Well, you know, I don't know. It's like being in a warehouse kind of store tonight and looking at all the manufactured goods and the technology and such. And it was so cheap, it didn't have any meaning. It wasn't made by... the technology made it. It wasn't made by I don't know quite how to put it. It didn't have the feel to it. It had a cheap feel to it.
Didn't have the feel of handwork, good, solid American product?
Not even Americans so much as human, you know?
Huh.
As human spirit behind it. And it's quantity versus quality, you know? And...
Well, I tell you, sir, it is, I say to you, it is depressing.
Well, all this talk about, you know, beings from other planets and,
yes,
and all this, this other stuff about Sumerians and we're genetically encoded and all this stuff.
Right.
See, I think that human life is a gift. I think it's a miracle. And all the religions all agree on that. There's one thing, that the human being is above the angels and above any spiritual beings and is equal to God, as far as within us there's something that's so equal to God or remarkable or a spark of God that is so incredible that I don't believe all that stuff, you know. It's just I think we've been given something and that is, you know, fantastic. You know?
Well, I don't necessarily believe it nor disbelieve it. I'm trying to figure out what the real truth is. I appreciate your call, though. I've got to run.
Okay. Bye.
All right, take care. I'm trying to figure it all out, and so many of us are, and I don't see how anybody can come to any firm conclusions one way or the other. I mean, either absolutely yes or absolutely no. How can you do that without absolute proof? I can't. On the wild card line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello. This is Salem, Oregon, KEX.
Yes, sir, KEX in Portland.
Yeah, I've got a couple of things. The second one is about Haiti, but if I got time, I'll get to that.
All right.
I wanted to ask you, have you heard of this ultimatum resolution yet?
Oh, absolutely, yes, I have a copy.
Oh, okay, good. I was been reading through that. I think that's rather fascinating. In fact, I've got an appointment on this next Wednesday to go talk to my state representative about it. So I'll pass on that tonight then and kind of... The guy last week kind of stole my thunder about Haiti. I'd kind of had the idea that what we needed to do about Haiti is all these gun buybacks that they have here in the States, like they've had one here in Portland, all that.
Donate the guns to the Haitians.
Yeah, why don't they just take all those guns and for each gun give them 1,000 rounds of ammunition and send them back?
Do you want to know why I think we won't do it?
And
I really mean this, because I think Bill Clinton doesn't want to be seen giving guns to anybody, not the Bosnians, not the Haitians, not anybody. What he really wants to do is take them away.
Right. Before I go, I wanted to, you know how some of the movies or stories that you hear about building a supercomputer that actually gets away?
Oh, yes, uh-huh.
You know, and it gets so big that it starts thinking for itself.
Yes, one of the great ones was the Forbin Project.
Yeah, well, I kind of look at our government like that, in the fact that what we got on right now is a race between the government, the big computer, and the creator, the states of America. And the big race is, can the states of America unplug it before it demolishes its creator?
I'm not sure that it's a process that can be reversed. You know, it sounds good, unplug it. But the way civilization is going right now and the social structure appears to be breaking down, I'm not sure the answer is that there's a way to stop it. Now I'm the one who's dishing out the depression. Thank you very much for the call.
All right, thank you.
Bye-bye. There are some days when I believe that everything can be pulled out, and frankly, I think there is hope. But there are other days when I see the process as nearly irreversible, and it may not be reversible. Hello there on the wild card line. You're on the air.
Oh, I have another news flash for you since you've been talking about rotten flesh all night.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was the one that called you up and brought it to your attention. This is Reno KOH.
Yes, ma'am.
All night long, at every top of the hour since 12 midnight, been hearing about that they're possibly going to cause Rostenkowski to be determined to become resigned of his own job.
Yes.
And I hadn't heard anybody comment about it.
Well, that's because it hasn't happened yet. Yes, we've been aware of the ongoing dialogue and the fact that he was probably going to have to plead guilty to at least one felony and all the rest of it, but it has still not happened.
Uh-huh. Okay. And on Angels, I have a story I know you're not going to believe, but it is true. About 8 months before George Bush went to got out of office, he was visited by an angel. And my pastor had talked about it across the pulpit after our church affiliation had their general conference, and the first time George Bush saw the angel, he didn't know who it was, and I guess he just kind of thought he was dreaming. He went back to sleep, and then I don't know how long it had passed, but the angel had woke him up again, and he asked him who he was, and he told him that he had a message from him to him, and that he was an angel and everything. And he told him not to interfere with any plans having to do with Israel going back, And he immediately got on the phone with our superintendent of our church affiliation, because at that time he was, besides Billy Graham, was the second spiritual advisor for George Bush.
Who did George Bush reportedly tell all this to?
Nathaniel Urshan. He's the general superintendent of the United Pentecostal Church International, and at that time he was, besides Bill Graham, he was his other personal advisor for spiritual decisions.
Well, that's a remarkable story.
And it's true, if you want to believe it or not, but I just wanted to let you know.
Well, I appreciate the story. It's interesting. Thank
you. Okay, thank you.
George Bush may have been visited by an angel. Probably came down and whispered in his ear, George, throw the election. George, throw the election. On the wild card line, you're on the air. Hello.
Radio Free America.
Yes, sir.
Say, Art, I've seen that Grace Commission video. Have you seen that?
Yes, I have.
Yeah, that is some seriously scary stuff.
I know it. And so is where our economy is headed. Can you imagine having to shell out $400 billion, in other words, all of our tax money, for for the debt.
Yeah, I'm going to pick up that Figgy deal. I urge all your listeners to do the same. Something's going to happen soon.
Yeah.
It's a matter of time.
I know.
called you to give you some information. This comes from some guy running named Toss Papalino around the 79th district out here in California.
Yes.
Said some things about Hillary Clinton's deal on firearms, something called AMMP, the alternative, what is it, alternative manufacturing program designed for Colt to change them from manufacturing firearms to blue jeans. And also firearms renewal program. That means registration of all firearms per year on a, you know, paying a certain amount of tax on each weapon to continue to own
them. Figures, yep.
Also, I was going to tell you, Art, I really do disagree with you about what happened to Beckman. I mean, that's outrageous that he didn't get his day in court after 18 years.
Well, he may yet get his day in court.
Oh, I know, and I'm hoping big time. I'm praying for the guy. I mean, this, you know, the Seventh Amendment guarantees everyone in this country the right on a civil suit of over $20, the right to a jury trial, and he was never given that.
Oh, I certainly agree with that aspect.
And
but
he
know,
still got title to that property.
Well, I don't know about that. They may have legally taken that, or perhaps there will be a trial about exactly that. I'm sure it's going to go to court.
Boy, I tell you, I hope so, and I hope he gets triple damages for what they've done to him.
All right, sir. Thank you. Well, a lot of it will hang on whether he really illegally withheld paying his income taxes. That's the only aspect of it. I would choose not to do that. I do pay my taxes. And you've got to remember that when somebody doesn't, you end up, or I end up, paying more.
The trip back in time continues with Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM. More Somewhere in Time coming up. Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from May 24th, 1994.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome into the best talk radio in the nighttime. Period. We're right here, wherever that is on your dial, up and down the dial. Kind of like the old WKRP song. Well, there's a lot going on. I guess there's been some sort of encounter near Haiti, shots fired over the bow, that sort of thing. A lot of news we're tracking, and let me just mention a little bit of it. Dr. Koop and President Carter are getting together trying to urge El Presidente to raise the price of cigarettes by $2 a pack. They think that's just a spiffy idea. So looks like we're going to have that argument again. There is a story about a disease in England that I'm trying desperately to get hold of. Somebody just sent me some instructions on how to resurrect it from America Online. And I'm going to try to do that. In the meantime, I received this fax from somebody updating me on that. As a matter of fact, it was Joe in Kansas City at KCMO, and he writes, Art, the sci-fi virus. CNN today carried a story of a sci-fi-like E. coli virus, which killed 6 people in, I believe, Scotland. Death within 24 hours of contraction. It liquidates 1 inch of muscle or fat per hour. They have been amputating limbs in a futile attempt to stop it. This is even more eerie to me than an atomic war. Is it possible this is ecologically produced or released by accident from one of these experimental labs that really don't exist? Well, I don't know. But that is, I feel, an important story and one that's being not properly covered. If we've got a new terrible disease going on, I want to know about it. I don't know about you. There are a lot of people, you know, who don't like bad news. If there's bad news, they don't want to hear it. And so maybe you don't want to hear this, but there it is, and I want to know more about it. So if anybody has any additional details or can confirm the main body of that facts, I would appreciate it. And I will go searching for the story on America Online. In the meantime, there was another fax I thought of a serious consequence, and I have a reply to it now. Hello, Art. I heard on the radio today that the St. Louis police have initiated a new crime prevention program whereby the officers are going door to door in a poor neighborhood, asking the residents to sign a paper giving them permission to search their homes. Ostensibly, the police are searching for guns. It was reported that people are being told that if they refuse to sign the release allowing their homes to be searched, they should be aware of the fact that their names will be on a list and they will be, quote, watched, end quote. Sounds like Chicago, doesn't it? And I asked, indeed, is it going on? And I have a friend now who works for News Plus, an organization, news wire service in St. Louis, and he just faxed me this. Dear Mr. Bell, here is the story regarding your earlier call, actually it was a fax, about police going door-to-door looking for guns in St. Louis. In response to the large number of shootings involving teenage gunmen, the St. Louis Mobile Reserve Unit is proposing the following. If a juvenile is arrested for an offense involving a gun, police would then go to that person's house and ask his parents for permission to search for other guns the juvenile might have. I don't know about people being put on a list if they refuse to allow the search, as your caller suggested, but apparently this has more to do with getting guns out of the hands of teenage gang members than undermining the Constitution. Thank you, Kevin. That's Kevin of News Plus. And, you know, that sounds reasonable to me, and I don't have a problem with it. In other words, if your son or daughter were caught with a gun, why would it be unreasonable for the police to want to look around in your house and see if that youngster, not you, had more guns? That is reasonable. And sometimes these stories get really blown out of shape. That's very different than simply going door to door randomly, sort of a knock and talk approach, asking to search homes randomly. It's very different. And I, as I said on the air, as I first heard this, I would really object. It's going too far. But as I get the follow-up report, it really isn't going too far, is it? And it really is a good idea, and things really are out of control, aren't they? So I don't think it is unreasonable that the police, after catching a juvenile with a gun, would want to search the home and find out if there are any more. What about you? We're also talking about the Postal Service distributing a national identification card, because that has now been proposed, and I wonder how you feel about it. If it would cut down on illegal immigration, which it would, if it would cut down on government fraud, which it would you accept such a card, or would you basically regard it as the mark of the beastie? Then there's Denny's, a $46 million settlement for alleged or now admitted. Actually, they're paying the $46 million without admitting it. But it was in settlement for alleged discrimination. I wonder how you feel about that. The Trade Center group, four of them, going away forever and ever. Most favored nation trading status for China, yay or nay. Mexico and the discontent down there. Did you hear about the new math test? The big joke that was going around? Well, some teacher, I guess in Chicago, gave the test to a classroom of sixth graders. Not good. And so that teacher may be fired. I think he had good intentions, but the parents have gone absolutely ballistic. And then finally, we're talking about angels because of the two-hour NBC special on angels that had a big impact on me. I don't know about you if you happen to catch it. So that's kind of a roundup of what we're talking about. Pick any topic you'd like to talk about and come on in. The water's fine. On the wild card line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, Art.
Hi.
Hi, this is Dave from Collinsville, Illinois, calling on KSD.
Yes, sir.
Hey, Yeah, I'd like to add to that fact from St. Louis, also the that police roadblocks at Forest Park.
They've got roadblocks.
Yeah, well, they were stopping cars at Forest Park. It's one of the biggest parks in St. Louis.
And what are they doing when they stop the cars?
Oh, searching the vehicles. They found a lot of ammo, guns, and drugs.
Now, see, searching them on what basis?
I guess suspicion.
Based on what? I mean, you really can't just do that. We do have a Fourth Amendment in this country, and you have a right not to be unreasonably searched, so there should be some basis for the search.
Well, you got to take the good with the bad, because any time you take your family down to Forest Park, all you see is, like, drug dealers, like, walking up the car.
Oh,
I can see that, but I don't agree with, you know, illegal entry and breaking into people's homes.
Well, no, but that, you know, from what I'm hearing, that is not what they're doing. I mean, these things get so blown out of proportion. People are so freaked out about the possibility of somebody's rights being violated that they take these things the wrong way. Now, the way I just read the facts, it sounds reasonable. If you catch a kid with a gun, why would it not be reasonable for an officer to go to the home and try to see if there is any more?
Well, I agree with that. It works both ways. I think they're going to use it against us.
But, you know,
they're doing some good and they're doing some bad.
But what I'm saying is some of the community blows this all up out of proportion, and pretty soon we have the police knocking on people's doors randomly, asking to search, and then threatening if they don't get it. Now, that would be horrible.
That's true.
And that is not, in fact, what's going on, is it?
That's true. The reason I called, I just wanted to comment on that St. Louis call.
Yes.
Let's see, what was I going to say? About Hoagland, a couple of nights ago, somebody mentioned Hoagland is supposed to make an announcement.
Yes.
At some university. Could you
yes.
clarify that?
All right. Thank you. I forget the time now. But yes, Richard Hoagland is going to make an announcement about what he thinks he's found on the dark side of the moon. And he thinks he claims he has photographic evidence of it. We are going to be scheduling Richard Hoagland back onto Dreamland. He believes that he's found a glass, what amounts to a glass skyscraper, several miles high on the moon. At least that's what I get of it so far, and I could be wrong. But we're going to have him back on Dreamland early in July, and I think that would be a good time to have him on. Maybe we'll have him on even before then. But, of course, as you know, the big collision occurs in July, and so I want to talk to him about that just before it occurs. Also, big announcement. This Friday night, Saturday morning on the program, repeating this coming Friday night, Saturday morning, I'm going to have as my guest Preston Nichols. Preston Nichols is the fellow who co-authored the book The Montauk Project. Basically, Preston Nichols will pick up where Al Bielek left off. Preston Nichols was also involved in the Philadelphia experiment at the Montauk end. And so, if you've been fascinated by Al Bielek, you're not going to want to miss Preston Nichols coming up this Friday night, Saturday morning. That'll be at 11 o'clock Pacific time. Pretty exciting stuff. Preston Nichols, 11 o'clock Pacific time, this Friday night, coming Friday night, actually. On the wild card line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art. This is Greg from Tacoma.
Greg, hi.
Hey, first off, I want to say put my name on that list.
Which list?
The one that's they're going to want to put your name on if they don't let you in to search your house.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
Right alongside yours, I'm sure.
Yes.
I can enlighten you a little bit on the lecture he's going to be giving on the moon.
All right.
He was on Laura Lee up here Saturday night.
Yes, I'm aware of that.
Okay. What he was talking about was a crystalline building,
right,
that reaches 7 miles into the sky.
Right.
And
I believe that he's come up with this based on calculations with regard to reflectivity of some object rather than a good clear picture of a big old 7-mile-high crystal building. Is that correct?
Well, no, I take it more. He's got photographic proof. He was stating that anybody with the old NASA photos, the ones that they were releasing all over the place like crazy during the moon explorations,
yes,
with the the Apollos and whatnot.
Yes.
He was saying with a home computer where you can enhance the picture, you would see these things clearly. And what he said led him there was the...
Clementine pictures.
Well, not only that, what really led him to searching for something on the moon was what he found on Mars. I didn't quite understand the correlation, but this is what he said. The figures that he was using, you know, how the distance between the city and the face, I think it equaled pi.
Yes, that's correct. A lot of the, what he calls he applies a new kind of math to it.
Right.
And he used those same calculations on the pictures on the moon. So it's going to be very interesting to see what he actually has.
Oh, I'm looking forward to hearing everything he's got. In fact, listening to your show has put so many of your guests on my must-read list, and I'm actually going through that book he wrote about Mars right now, and it's absolutely fascinating. Another point was it's on the side of the moon that is always facing us, because technically there is no dark side, because it's like every 2 weeks that side of the moon will be illuminated. But there's basically one side that is always away from us.
Right.
And he says this city is like smack dab in the middle, like where you'd want it to be, to look straight down on us.
All right. Well, we'll all know soon. Thank you very much for the call, and we'll be back in a flash. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Hello.
Good morning, Art. This is Bob from Sacramento.
Hello, Bob.
Listen, boy, you really have to exercise a lot of patience with a lot of these people that call in.
Well, it's the job, I guess.
Oh, you have a pretty good job. You know, I called in yesterday and talked about CIA and cocaine.
I remember.
And today... I caught Jerry Brown, and you know who Jerry Brown is.
Yes, I do. He has a talk show now.
Yeah, and he devoted 3 days to Haiti and cocaine.
Did he?
Yeah, and this guy has all kind of, he's quoting a lot of people, and he's there's a lot of books out there with...
Well, I'm sure that Haiti is a drop-off point, a transshipment point for cocaine. I doubt there's any... I don't argue that with you.
He said there's a ton of cocaine coming into America every month.
Well, I'm sure there is.
And I'm thinking that we're not going to do anything about Haiti, because that's big money coming into America, and that's a lot of money for a lot of politicians.
Well,
I guess
I disagree with you, and if that were the case, then
yeah,
we would not have done anything about Panama, you know, based on the same reasoning.
Well, Noriega was into drugs.
Who?
Noriega,
yes, yeah, and now Noriega is in jail.
Yeah, right, but we had to do something. That got to be such a...
Well, I know, but if we did something there, why do you conclude we would not do something in Haiti?
Well, if anything happens in Haiti, it'll be a one-day thing like Grenada.
Well,
it'll be for show only.
It better be. It better be a one-day thing. That's what I would say.
I think that also one other point, I think the Republican conservative movement is an albatross, and Rush Limbaugh is an albatross. I think it's over. I believe we're headed for socialism in a big way.
All right, sir. Thank you very much for the encouraging words. Conservatism is an albatross, Rush Limbaugh is an albatross, I am an albatross. Well, maybe. You know, maybe it's the cycle of life. Maybe it is the end of conservatism across the face of the globe. Maybe socialism is streaking in, riding on the back of the Clintons, being served up to America in ever-increasing doses. Yep, might be. Might be. Maybe if this story about what's going on in England, or wherever it is true, it's all somewhat academic. Now, there's a really depressing thought. On the wild card line, you're on the air. Hello.
Yes, Art. Forgive me if other people have called in about this. Did you, on my 9 o'clock news tonight here in Southern California, I heard that Saddam Hussein had said that they had used chemical warfare.
No.
Well, this is what was said.
Okay, what I heard is that we are concluding, based on the studies we're doing now, that Saddam did use chemical warfare. That's what I've heard.
Oh, this wasn't exactly the way it came over our news here.
I see. Well, I've not yet heard that Saddam has admitted he did that.
Well, this is what our news said. Now, of course, you can get all kinds of news, as we all know. But if that is the case, then these vets that are having all these terrible illnesses will have something to go on from now on. Because Lord knows they are claiming to have suffered terrible pain.
Yes, I know.
And if it is so, then they should be treated and treated immediately.
Well, I could not agree more. Thank you. And I am going to follow this story closely. I did hear another version of it that U.S. authorities are beginning to conclude that that occurred. And it certainly wouldn't surprise me. Saddam, capable of using a chemical warfare or biological warfare, not only yes, but hell yes. So it is not a surprise to me. We'll find out. And on the first time caller line, lo and behold, you're on the air.
Yeah, Art, Craig from Lawton, Oklahoma, listening to you from KFH, or Wichita, I guess it is.
All right, and where are you, in Lawton, Oklahoma?
Lawton, Oklahoma, yeah.
All right, welcome to the program.
Yeah, in reference to the stuff going on up in St. Louis.
Yes.
You know, there is procedures in place, you know, without for the police to be able to go in and get a search warrant. And, you know, they don't have to go in there and intimidate people if that's in fact what's going on. So it seems like that what they're doing is maybe it sounds reasonable, but is in fact unreasonable because, you know, like I say, there is...
Well, why is it not reasonable? In other words, if your son, your 13-year-old, say, is caught with a gun marching down the street, why isn't it reasonable they would check the house to see if there are more guns?
Well, because, you know, why should it make a difference if it's a child or an adult? They'd still seem to me need to get go to the judge and get a search warrant. Because, you know, I believe the law is that if you're found with a weapon or something like that, they can only do a reasonable search of the general area that you're in. If they want to go to your house, they need to get a search warrant. So why should we deviate from that?
Well, not if you allow them in. In other words, it seems reasonable to me the police would go to the home and say,
right.
You know, your son had a gun. Would you mind if we search? And I suppose...
Well, in that case, I can see that is reasonable. But
well, that is what they're doing.
If the people are saying no and then if the parents are saying no, and then they're saying they're going to put them on a list, well, that seems unreasonable to me.
Well, put them on a list to be watched? Again, I don't think it's unreasonable. I'm sorry, but I really don't think so. I mean, they'd be watching the house to see if any more guns come from it.
How can they do that?
Well, I don't know. By posting somebody there to watch. I really don't know. I just, you know... From the way the story first came to me and the reality of the story, there's about 100 miles of difference.
Well, yes, yes.
And I said clearly on the air last hour, some of you would not have heard it, that to me, that would have been way over the line, way over the line. But this is not.
Well, I agree. You know, that when I first heard the second follow-up fact, I said, well, yeah, that sounds reasonable. Then I started thinking to myself.
Right. Sir, I've got to go. We're out of time. We'll be back.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from May 24th, 1994. Presents Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from May 24th, 1994.
By the way, if somebody wants to send me that article on the disease from AOL, then I could get it on the air this morning. I'm not going to have an opportunity to get online until after I get off the air. So if one of you has that story, forward it to me by all means. I don't know why I'm... yes, I do. Because I have this terrible feeling that something like the stand, not the entire body of the stand, mind you, but that terrible first episode could occur. And so I watch reports of diseases like the one we're hearing about very, very carefully. On the toll-free line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art.
Bernard. This is Tony from Sacramento, the law student.
Hi, Tony.
Hi, you remember me from last night?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Well, you know, I wanted to tell you, Art, you're no albatross. And you'll probably really appreciate that hearing it from me because I am what you would call a liberal. But I agree with everything that you say.
You do?
I do.
Well, then how can you be a liberal?
Well, because I'm what they call a new Democrat.
Well, so is Doc Democrat. He claims to be one, too.
No, he's not. You know, I don't think he is. I really don't. I've heard him now a few times. I mean, I've been listening to your show pretty much every night, and I don't think he is.
The president also claims to be one.
He's definitely not. I'll tell you, a new Democrat, you know, it's interesting. One of the callers who called earlier talked about Jerry Brown.
Yes.
And you know, to speak of him not as a talk show host, but just as a person.
Right.
I have done volunteer work for him and have met him personally on a couple of occasions. I think that he probably fits the description, which is socially liberal but fiscally conservative. For example, his idea of the flat tax.
Yes.
You know, that's a very conservative idea.
It is. It really is. And I've been a fan of it for a long, long time.
Yeah. So that's what I would define a new Democrat.
I'm also no single thing. There are some, I suppose, not quite liberal, but leaning toward liberal aspects to me at times. And economically, I'm quite conservative. I guess even politically, I'm fairly conservative, but not far right wing by a long shot.
Well, you know, I agreed with what you were saying with regard to Haiti. I mean, it's something that this other person would call global onia, but the fact that we're going to embargo the Dominican Republic, I think, is only going to hasten the ultimate, you know, climax of things. I mean, the way that things are probably going to turn out anyway.
I think that's really stupid. We're going to just ruin another economy that's teetering anyway. If we're going to do this, then we might as well do it. And if we're going to do it, we ought to do it with enough force to do it without getting a lot of people hurt and get it done quickly. Having said that, I'm not in favor of doing it.
Right, exactly. I am not in favor of it either. But the thing is if it's got to be done, then just do it, you know, and get it done and do it right instead of just postponing the inevitable. I mean,
that's right. But
that's not to say that we should do it. I mean, that's just a different question.
It is.
And you know, as far as government goes, I think that we need to support our country because it is our country. At the same time, it is our right, if you want to call it a birthright, it may be an inalienable right, to criticize it because government is a necessary evil, and we need to limit it. You know, that's our duty as citizens, is to limit our government.
I agree again.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Good to know you're out there.
Well, I hope that makes you a conservative instead of making me a new Democrat. I got to run.
Okay.
Thanks. Bye. So I'm not sure what that means. Maybe it means that people in the middle have a lot in common. I don't know. On the wild card line, you're on the air. Hello.
This is Charlie, liberal in California.
Yes.
First of all, if any guy that agrees with everything you say is not a new Democrat. He might be a new Neanderthal, but he's definitely not a new Democrat. There is a difference between Democrats and Republicans.
In your ear, Charlie.
Democrats support the middle class and social involvement of the government. Republicans don't because they're selfish. And if obviously this guy's a right winger trying to pretend to be a Democrat.
I'm not. Like Charlie, I'm not selfish.
Well, I mean, you personally might not be, but I mean, let's face it, the policy of the Republicans is selfish.
No, it's not.
Well, we obviously disagree on that. Just like you say, our policies are socialist.
Well, you call names well. Let me hear you document it. What is selfish about conservative ideology?
Not supporting health care for working people who don't have it, not supporting expanding welfare training. We could go on and on and on for days on that.
I would say that conservatives are merely not stupid.
No, I would say that they're merely protecting their own. But like I say, we disagree on that. Obviously, that's why you're an extremist, and I'm not. But anyway, let me just say on the gun thing, I do agree with you on the thing in St. Louis. But
yeah.
I honestly don't believe that it's gone far enough, which is what the problem is. When you get situations like that, people are afraid to go out of their houses. You've got people shooting randomly. As far as I'm concerned, they live in a state of siege. And when you live in a state of siege, I believe that it has to be rectified by any means necessary. And by any means necessary means just that.
Well, isn't that like saying the end justifies the means, Charlie?
In that situation, yes. These people don't have freedom anyway. If you can't go, if you're afraid to go outside your house at 6 o'clock in the evening, and you're basically a prisoner in your own home, you don't have freedom to begin with.
Gee, you know, Charlie, I'm curious. Why would you say the end justifies the means here, but when you look at something like support of the Contras and anti-communist activity, then all of a sudden, why the end does not justify the means? Because the means is anti-communist.
In that situation, the people would be less free under either one of those governments. They're both scuzz buckets. But I'm saying these people need to be. These people are living in a state of siege in these urban dwellings, and they need to be protected. And I think that's what the law enforcement and government means to do, even if we have to get past the gun owners. Gun nuts.
So if that means a virtual police state, que sera?
I believe that it should be national, to tell you the truth. But again, we probably disagree on that. Lastly, let me say on this. As you know, Jennifer, you might not know this, but Jennifer Flowers came out with some tapes that she's selling for $20. And
you mean conversations with the guy who sounds just like Bill Clinton?
Yeah, right. But anyway, let me just say that, and it's kind of familiar because I can't recall this, but there was some other extreme lady who came out with some tapes. She was selling them for $20. So, but I can't remember her name right now. I think it was Thomas or Thompson or something. But anyway, I think she said something very interesting. She said that Bill Clinton would not sexually harass any female. And I have to, I think Jennifer Flowers would know that better than anyone, but there is a rumor out that Jennifer...
Oh, well, then you mean that you buy into all of Jennifer Flowers' story, then?
Well, some of it, but like I said, there's a rumor out. Jennifer Flowers apparently is...
Well, then we have a real problem. Which girlfriend do we believe?
Well, Jennifer Flowers is apparently getting some... She's going to get some females together, and they're going to go down to Washington with arms, and they're going to take some people hostage.
Oh, goodbye, Charlie. Which one of these gals do we believe? Which gal is lying? Jennifer Flowers says Bill Clinton would never harass a female, and Paula Jones says she was harassed. So, which girlfriend do you believe, ladies and gentlemen? On the toll-free line, you're on the air. Hello.
Well, hello.
Well, hello.
I didn't expect to get a direct shot in.
Well, then why did you call? Oh, I see. We don't screen calls. We just, we just put you on the air.
Okay. Well, great. I just received a fax from a friend of mine on the Hawaiian legislature has voted, or I think the legislative committee has said that if the national debt gets to $6 trillion, or if the president of the Congress does something to subvert the Congress...
Yes, it is called the ultimatum resolution.
Oh, the ultimatum resolution.
Yes.
Okay. Well, you already have a copy of it then.
I do, yes.
Yeah. You've mentioned a bulletin board system on your program, but I never seem to catch the phone number.
All right. I will give it to you.
Great.
But so listen on the air. Where are you, by the way?
Oh, I'm actually between Los Angeles and San Diego, but I get KOGO.
Oh, KOGO. I'll tell you, that station just rages right up the coast.
I love it.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, and listen on the air. All right, I'm going to give you two things. One is I will give you the bulletin board number, and you can try it. Now, whether it's fully open anymore or not, I don't know. It is area code 702-727-7091. That's area code 702-727-7091. Now, I am also now a member of the Internet. On America Online. So I have an internet address, and if you wish to send me a message, you may do so on internet. Simply address it to, and there are no spaces in what I'm going to tell you, no spaces. Send it to Art Bell at the at sign, Art Bell, no spaces, at AOL.com. That's Art Bell at AOL.com. And you can get an internet message to me in that manner. On the wild card line, you're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning, Art. How are you doing today?
Fine, sir.
You were talking about angels earlier.
Yes. Well, you've got a terrible amount of hum on your line.
Oh, I'm sorry. Let me switch here.
All right.
I got a better speed dial on that one.
Yeah. Is that a portable phone?
No, it's just old.
Old. Okay.
Anyway.
Me too. I have hum in my body. Just old.
Yeah. I was curious about the angels here. Now that I switched phones, I wanted to get you this title to this book. I thought you'd be really interested. Let me grab that.
All right. Yeah, it happens to you when you get old. Like an old phone, you get hum.
Sorry about that.
That's all right.
It's called Where Angels Walk.
Yes.
And it's by Joan Wester Anderson.
Right.
And these are true stories about heavenly visitors. And it's a very powerful book. I thought you would maybe be interested in that.
Sounds like one I would be interested in, yes.
Okay.
Did you happen to see the NBC program on angels last night?
Well, actually, I didn't. That's why I called, because I had to work. And I did hear you say, though, that it took you. And I was kind of curious, what about it? I mean, could you tell us anything about it?
Well, it ranged all the way from World War I to present day, and it gave many, it was a two-hour special, and it gave example after example of people who have been visited by angels. And without relating each story to you, I just tell you, some of them caused the hair on the back of my neck to go straight up.
It sounds a lot like about this book too. Each individual story. So,
well,
I'm really disappointed. I missed that.
Yeah, I'm sorry you missed it too. It was very good, really riveting, actually.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Thanks.
Thanks very much for the call. It was very, very good. Did any of the rest of you catch that program? It was an NBC special, 2 hours long, on angels, and it was very, very good. And I guess here's where I would like to stop for a second and note, and don't you, why do you suppose we're beginning to see so many programs about this? About past life regression? About life after death or near-death experiences and UFOs? Why is there so much suddenly in the media about this? This subject that almost nobody until recently would touch. On the first time caller line, you're on the air.
Hello, Art.
Hello.
Now let me turn off my radio.
Thank you. And tell us where you are calling from.
My name is Ron, and I'm calling from Seattle.
Seattle. Okay, good. KVI.
Well, no, actually, I'm listening to you on KOH.
KOH in Reno?
Yeah, I pick it up all the way here at nighttime.
Why, as a matter of curiosity, when you've got KVI right there?
Because I don't like KVI. They get a little bit too filled, I think, anyway. They get a little too arrogant. And,
are you familiar with the expression, cutting off your nose despite face?
Yeah.
Well, you're doing that, sort of. I mean, you'd have a nice,
very
clear...
True.
Well, okay.
Come in clearer.
As you will.
But
talk
they keep going on with this hot talk, KVI, hot
talk. Well, so it is hot talk.
Like, they're the greatest thing in the world. And
well,
I just kind of...
Well, they are.
Yeah,
but
they, to me.
Well, all right.
But you got a good point. You're right. So sometimes it's the perception. Dreamland I listen to on KVI because I don't want to miss a word of Dreamland. So
well, what kind of miserable double standard is that?
It has no logic to it whatsoever. I did really enjoy Mike Rigby last week.
Yes, yes.
That was one of the better Dreamlands.
Yes, I'm glad you enjoyed it.
And because I'm a Betty Edie fan and her book.
Yeah, you're not going to want to miss the one, well, really, anything I've got coming up. You know, I've got Preston Nichols coming up on Friday night, Saturday morning.
And you've been talking about him for quite a while now.
That's right. And Tom Van Flanderer, this coming Sunday, he wrote Dark Matter and Missing Planets. He is a astronomer.
It sounds very interesting. Well, I'll definitely be listening. I never miss a Dreamland.
Good.
And I would like to compliment you. I am a first-time caller. You are very patient with your people, and it's... That's one of your big selling points, I think, on your show is your personality. You're one of those kind of guys that nobody couldn't like.
Well, I hope that's true, but believe me, it is not true. You should see some of the letters I get.
Yeah, I can believe it. I guess
I read them and I say to myself, nobody could be that bad.
Well, I think maybe two people oftentimes, just because you don't disagree with somebody doesn't necessarily mean you agree with them, but they interpret it as you agreeing with them.
Well, or the other way around, if they disagree with you violently, politically, then nothing you can do and nothing you can say is right, and they hate your guts. And that's okay. You know, that's all right.
Because I don't agree with absolutely everything you say.
Right.
But a lot of it. But I wanted to comment on that program on Dateline NBC tonight. I've read a lot of these type of books and listened to a lot of different Laura Lee show and your show and Dreamland, et cetera, and heard a lot of different, you know, discussions on this. It was very good. I thought it was well done. Patty Duke was a great host for that. She brought a level of sincerity across. One thing that upsets me, though, is it seems so unfair. Now, doesn't it seem to you a little bit that God is a little bit politically incorrect?
In what sense?
In the sense that, you know, all right, now here, I'm not trying to get any self-pity here, but I'll tell you a little bit about myself. I had a car accident 18 years ago when I was in high school. It left me paralyzed from the waist down. Okay?
Right, right.
I have since spent my entire life and every penny I've ever earned searching for a healing. Okay? Trying to get my legs back. Okay?
Of course. Yes.
Okay, so I've been to doctors in Russia. I've been to the holy sites, Lourdes, France. You know, Guadalupe, Mexico City. I've been to the psychics that show you the chicken livers and all
right.
different things. And I can't find anybody that can help anybody that has paraplegia. Now, I can find them that have healed cancer, et cetera, okay? But what I'm saying is, you know, where was my angel? Now, this guy calls earlier, you know, has that accident. He gets hit by the car, and, you know, he gets let down onto the ground very easily.
Where was your angel?
Where was my angel saving me from getting a broken back?
Probably out to lunch.
You know, yeah, exactly. I got a loser for an angel.
I'm going to tell you what the religious folk would say, and I'm sure you've heard it a million times. They would say it's God's will.
Oh, that's a bunch of baloney.
Well, that explains a lot. I mean, when you can't explain it otherwise, it's God's will.
That's precisely why they say it, because that's the only way you can deal with it. And there may be some logic to that. You get into Betty Eady's theory, and then also with what Mike Rigby had to say.
Well, or
maybe I chose this, see?
Either that, or then there's another possibility, and that is that there is such a thing as reincarnation, mm-hmm. and you're serving out what you're meant to be serving out or try to conquer or fight in this life.
Yeah, but for some reason I can't get my conscious mind to accept that, even though
I'm with you, and if
I entertain it as a theory, and you know, I can say, okay, that's a possibility, but I still can't get my conscious mind to say, okay.
And well, I wouldn't if I were you. If I were in your wheelchair, so to speak, I'd be fighting right to the end, trying to do something about
it.
So
that's exactly what I'm doing. I would hope that maybe if you come across any connections on your Dreamland show, get somebody on there who's an expert on psychic healings and psychic surgery and stuff like that, because I can't, all the research I've done, I've talked to people all over the world, I can't find anybody that's ever been healed of this. I can find cancer patients day and night, even AIDS patients or whatever, cataracts, you know, kidney stones, all that kind of stuff. You can find healings with that kind of stuff, but never any with paraplegia or quadriplegia.
All right. I've got to run, but I really appreciate your call.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks for your time, Mark.
Right.
Bye.
It was a good call, and what to say to that man? I know what a lot of people, religious types, would say. They'd say, oh, but you're looking in all the wrong places. That's what they'd say. But you see, I'd be doing just exactly what that man is doing. I'd be fighting to get my legs back, going everywhere, talking to everybody, following whatever story I could up, and doing, you know, fighting right to the end. So you may have comment on what he said. Very interesting. I would follow many of the same roads, despite warnings and pleadings from those who would counsel otherwise. On the toll-free line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, Art?
Yes.
Art, I'm in Denver, Colorado, and I'm a big fan of yours and listen every week.
Listen, sir, I've got to ask a favor.
Sure.
I picked this up when I had business to do. Can I put you on hold and come back to you?
Of course.
All right, in Denver, stand by, and we'll come back to you. We'll come back to you all. So you will be the first customer after the news at the top of the hour, which I might add is coming up immediately. So, lots and lots to talk about this morning. Angels, police searches, new diseases, trouble in Haiti, and you can tell that one's escalating towards some sort of a crisis, and I think very soon now. So we're going to blockade the Dominican Republic, choke them off too. Great idea.
This is Premier Networks. That was Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM on this Somewhere in Time. Continues, courtesy of Premier Networks.
Well, good morning. Don't forget this Friday night, Saturday morning, Friday night actually at 11 o'clock Pacific time. We'll have Preston Nichols here, Preston Nichols of the Montauk Project or the Philadelphia Experiment Part 2. You're not going to want to miss that. 11 o'clock. Your radio station doesn't yet carry the program at 11. You might make a polite, discreet inquiry and see if they're going to be able to do so. Going back now quickly to a gentleman in Denver, and then I've got a couple of hot faxes here for you. See, hot talk. A lot of stations calling it hot talk these days. These are hot faxes. We'll get to them in just a moment. In Denver, you're on the air. Thank you for waiting, sir.
Good morning again, and thank you for holding on, Art.
Yes, sir.
All right, your sister station here, KNUS in the Denver area, Larry Nichols makes a lot of appearances here. I don't know whether you're aware of that, on one of the talk shows here. And I did a little unofficial baiting for you last week when Larry appeared.
Did you?
I called up and I said, Larry, I don't know whether you're aware of it, but there's a nationwide talk show, the Art Bell Show out of Las Vegas.
Yes.
And Mr. Bell has mentioned several times that your reps have contacted him and said that, you know, very much like an appearance that Larry would appear on the Art Bell Show.
Yes.
And then along about that time, Art Bell mentions, but you understand that if Mr. Nichols appears on my program, I'm going to ask him the hard questions.
Yes.
And Larry appeared genuinely a bit perplexed by this. He said...
it's getting to the point where he's been perplexed about this almost too many times because I've had other people call who have done exactly what you've done. I don't understand why he continues to be perplexed.
Well, Art, he's going to appear again, I think, next Thursday he's slated to appear. He's still making that prediction that Clinton will be out by May 30th or June 1st. And
gee, it's getting a little close.
It certainly is. And, they're wagering at the station here about, the date and hour. So it's an interesting story. I'm a bit frustrated, and I'm sure you are too, Art.
Thank you.
Thank you, Art.
Take care. Frustrated is the right word. Now, maybe it is a massive coincidence, but I have no less than five times heard from his people. I even talked to Larry Nichols' lawyer in Little Rock. He had heard the same thing, and he called me and said, and I said the same thing to him. I said, "Yo, sure, I'd love to have him on. I've got some hard questions. In other words, I want some proof laid out." And that doesn't mean that I'm not going to go ripping the guy apart. I just want to ask some hard questions, and I don't see why he shouldn't be willing to submit to them. These are serious, damned allegations he's making about this president, literally of murder, drug dealing, and so forth and so on. So I don't see what's so scary about hard questions. I'm not going to crucify the guy. I'm just going to ask hard questions. That's all. So... at least a half dozen contacts now, and still no action. I remain open. Here's a fax I got. Hi, Art. Been listening to you for about 6 months and really enjoy the program. I've become very aware of things going on that I was in the dark about. Felt the need to tell you I take great offense at your comments about stupid answering service or answering services. And talking to a real human being tonight, rather than an answering service. I spent 25 years with Ma Bell as one of those long-distance operators. I've worked for, and then she names the answering service, for 10 years. And I'm a human being. B-E-A-N, she spells it. And I'm not stupid. I've worked night shift the whole time, and I'm extremely protective of our clients and their customers. So, my friend, don't judge all by some. Keep up the good work, Maggie. In Montana. Montana Maggie. Well, Maggie, of course I didn't mean that you were stupid. When I said stupid answering services, I sort of stand by that. They're not stupid, but they're also not salespeople, and they're not ever going to be, Maggie. And so what I guess I'm saying is this man, who has decided to instead get up in the middle of the night and answer the calls himself and sell his own product, is a wise dude. Because it's very difficult for an answering service with a script to properly sell a product and answer questions. And I've experienced many times the same thing. You call an answering service about a product and you ask them a question. They say, I'm sorry, sir, I don't know. I take orders. And, I take order. Do you want to place your order? Well, yeah, but how about this? Well, I'm sorry, I don't know about that. You could call back during the day. And so, from that perspective, I meant it, Maggie. Certainly not that you're stupid. Besides, I like operators. I talk to operators, long-distance operators especially. You ever try to engage an operator in conversation? They're not supposed to, but they do. And I have the sense they're thankful for it. That's right, somebody treating them as a human being. B-E-A-N, Maggie, human being. So there you have that. On the toll-free line, you're on the air. Hello.
Morning, Art.
Good morning.
I'm calling from Phoenix, Arizona.
Yes, sir.
One of our local talk jocks on KFYI who's
known. Do not call them talk jocks.
Talk host.
Thank you.
I guess that's a pickup from, I'm so used to hearing Howard Stern referred to as a shock jock.
Well, he is.
At any rate, the local gentleman who was really investigating a lot of the background regarding Linda Thompson had a guest on just before he was let go. And I cannot remember the name of the guest, but he published a thing that he called white papers, and I guess they were very voluminous, very scholarly pieces, like, and if you sent away from one, you paid $25 for it.
Yes.
But this gentleman was investigating a lot of the, I guess you'd say, the allegations made by Linda Thompson regarding the Waco debacle.
Right.
I got the strong impression from the gentleman that he, although he agreed with her that that the government is quite heavy-handed in many cases, and that he was grateful for her work in the Big Lie video, he also pointed out the fact that whenever anybody, particularly anybody who is sympathetic with Linda Thompson's aims as far as being anti-big government, anti-tyranny, would point out technical flaws, most notably the supposed flame shooting out of the tank turret.
Yes.
That right away, Linda would not. I mean, she'd freeze up. You know, she would accuse these people of being CIA plants or being government sympathizers. People all the way up to like Bo Greitz, who has, I guess, applauded her work. But whenever he,
they've had a feud going for a while now.
I was wondering if you had ever carried. I very rarely get an opportunity to listen to you at length, and I was wondering if you ever had anybody along those lines that would have honest, legitimate criticism, maybe about technical aspects of her work, not necessarily antagonistic towards her her perspective, but...
Yes, I've had a number of people on in that category. Mm-hmm. Quite a number, actually.
I see. Is there anybody, particular names that come to mind, anybody that puts reading material
Sure. There was talk host down in Dallas that I had on not long ago. He was on for several hours, and
I think I caught the tail end of that show.
Right
after you had Miss Thompson on.
I had Agent X on with Linda Thompson in debate. Did you hear that?
No, I didn't hear it. I heard it advertised. I was not able to hear it.
I see. So we've done quite a little bit in that regard. I had a Branch Davidian on about a week ago, or was it two? Time runs by
quickly.
You know,
my brother just told me about that tonight.
So there are. See, you really knew all the answers. You just missed the programs.
Yeah. Do you ever intend to have anything similar along a similar vein in the future that I can
look?
To?
You can't tell what's going to happen. Sure, I may. I've
okay.
got to run, sir.
Okay,
thank you. We will continue to follow the story. Believe me, we're going to follow the story. It's an important story now, and we will stick with it as things develop. We'll have to see what happens. Here's yet another fact, important, I think. This is from Reuters News in London. The Streptococcus bacterium, which has killed 6 people in Britain this year by literally dissolving their fat and flesh, has a long and deadly history. In the 19th century, it caused a form of child bed fever that claimed mothers by the thousands, and other forms have caused epidemics of scarlet and rheumatic fever. Streptococcus type A caused the, quote, galloping pneumonia, end quote, that killed Muppets creator Jim Henson in 1990. The form he died of did not cause the problem that causes, that kills tissue at the rate of 1 inch an hour. Instead, bacteria spread rapidly through his body, overwhelming his immune system. Streptococcus can also infect wounds, causing gangrene. It exists naturally in about 10% of people, usually staying harmlessly at the back of the throat. At most, it usually causes an easily treated sore throat, commonly known as strep throat. Doctors at first thought the British version had itself been attacked by a virus, but said on Tuesday now they've ruled that out. An epidemiologist at the U.S. Center for Disease Control in Atlanta said it is well known that among the symptoms of infection by Group A streptococcus that causes strep throat is a condition that rapidly eats through fat and muscle. They say it is not a new mutation. This is not something that is untreatable, according to Dr. Benjamin Schwartz of the CDC. Antibiotics, penicillin, is the treatment of choice. Well, maybe. But these people are dying within 24 hours. That would seem a bit speedier than normal. On the wild card line, you're on the air. Hello.
Yeah, hi. Good morning. Alaska here, KNI.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I wanted to comment on the Denny's thing first of all, the discrimination.
Yes.
I think maybe Denny's maybe now will straighten up their act and treat people a little bit more equally. It doesn't matter what color you are; everybody should be treated the same when you walk in.
I think so. Yes. There might be some conditions under which you would reach a judgment about somebody based on old raggedy clothes and the street look and all the rest of it. And you might ask them to pay first no matter what their color. But a policy that allows that is too easily twisted into one that discriminates.
That's very true. And if you have that problem, then maybe you should shut your doors and move your Denny's restaurant to another location.
Yeah, basically, I agree with that.
And also on the Denny's thing, I think that the only way you really can talk to companies like this is to hit them in the pocket, and because the only thing they really look at is the bottom line or the profit in it. And if you hit them there, then that's what they recognize. I wanted to ask you, how does it feel to be a new Democrat?
Well, I don't concede that our agreement in those areas makes me one. I rather would like to believe it makes him a conservative.
Oh, I see. So I guess maybe Charlie's a new liberal.
Oh, well, Charlie's not even in the same dimension as
That's true. That's true. And the guy last night, he was driving along and he saw people talking. You know, they were in their car and talking to themselves.
Yes, that's right.
Maybe they're listening to the radio and they're singing, for Pete's sakes. I do that sometimes myself.
In some cases, certainly that is true. But I must say that I've seen a lot of people talking to themselves, even arguing apparently with themselves, nowhere near a radio.
I think a lot of those are probably men, and they're probably waiting until they get home with their wife, and they're trying to see how the argument's going to go.
Yeah, well, there is that possibility, too. Thank you.
One more thing.
Yes, sir.
The Gold Rose Company, hello?
Yes.
I did order one of your Gold Roses, the Hollywood Elite. I want to tell you it went over really well with my wife, and I want to thank you for that.
Well, you're welcome. It is everything we say it is, isn't it?
Yes, it was. It was excellent. Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much for the call. want to read the rest of this to you or some more of it. There have been 10 to 12 suspected cases of the flesh-eating version of the infection since the beginning of the year. Now, here's where they give you the calming talk. Quote, clusters, that's what they call this, a cluster. Clusters have been reported from elsewhere in the world literature. It is an unusual event, but not unique. That's according to Christine Murphy of the British government's Public Health Laboratory Service. The agency added in a statement, quote, public anxiety should be allayed by the fact that we have examined all indicators of streptococcal infection in the country, and these are demonstrating no change in either numbers of patterns of infection, it said. Patients are treated with antibiotics, but the dead flesh must be surgically removed. This was, I think, pulled off AOL or someplace or another, and sent to me by Dan, listening at WLIP in Kenosha, Wisconsin. Well, that's a nice statement. Does it relax you? Gee, I didn't know there were flesh-eating bacterial infections out there. Flesh-eating. Did you? Are you calmed by the fact that why they say, this is not unusual? We've had clusters of flesh-eating infections before. Well, I didn't know that. Did you? On the wild card line, you're on the air. Hello.
Good morning, Art Bell.
Good morning.
This is Leonard.
Leonard, late Leonard.
You had a call from somebody this evening that agreed with you on most everything else except health care.
Yes, that's correct.
The trouble is, this health care thing is it's wanted and it's wishful thinking. It's what they dream it is, and it isn't what it is at all. It's like a wolf in sheep's clothing. They see the sheep's clothing, but they don't see the wolf.
That's right.
When I was a boy, I read a book called Looking Backward by Edward Bellamy. Did you ever read that book?
No.
Well, it's one you should read. It's a wonderful story about a utopia that came about by everybody reverting to socialism, and everybody worked together as socialism, and they had utopia on Earth. It's a beautiful story, but the only thing wrong with it is it doesn't take into account the human nature, the fallen nature of man. And if we were angels, we could have a utopia on Earth, but we are not angels, and that's the result.
I share that view, basically. That's right.
This health care plan is the reason for it is the abolition of private property. It's the power to destroy. And the excuse for it is the health care plan. Health care would be fine, but the power to destroy us with this thing is that there's an attorney that's gone through that health care program with fine-tooth comb, and you ought to see what he's dug out of it.
I have.
You know about that $5,000 penalty?
Yes.
And that's what's going to kill us.
Well, you're referring to the president's plan. The president's plan is not going to be the one that we're going to get. I don't know what we're going to get just yet, Leonard, but it's not going to be the president's plan as submitted. That's clear.
Well, what we're going to get is they're going to have an add-on plan that'll just keep adding on and adding on and adding on, and we'll have the whole thing.
I agree, and that's why I said, of course, I'm not for it, but I actually might be for the single-payer plan more than I would be for some version of the president's plan. I think it would be a disaster. Thank you very much for the call. That's a good call, Leonard. One of the best calls you've ever made, actually. On the toll-free line, you're on the air. Hello.
Yes. Hi, Art. How are you? Art, a couple of things. Always enjoy your program. I'm calling you from Seattle, but listening to you on KGO. A couple of comments.
No.
Pardon?
No, you're not listening to me on KGO.
I certainly am. In fact, I'm also listening to you on one of those nice little television portable.
Well, that's great, but we're not on KGO.
I thought that's what he said. But
well, maybe. No, that's where Brother Ray serves.
Okay. Well, anyway, I wanted to talk about the liberal and conservative, and I, with a great amount of sophistication, kind of put the conservative in the socially irresponsible category.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I really do. And I even had some things that I liked Mr. Nixon, and had some things that were recently went up in the political collection of the Smithsonian that I created for him several years ago, but that's my honest opinion there. Another thing I want
to... Wait a minute.
Yes.
I have a break here at the bottom of the hour, and I cannot resist exploring the social irresponsibility further, so okay. I will hold you over. Can I do that?
By all means, sir.
All right, stay right there. We will be back.
This is Premier Networks. That was Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM on this Somewhere in Time. Listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from May 24th, 1994.
Also, once again, here is the caller who was just about to provide us with evidence of the social irresponsibility of conservatives when we got to the bottom of the hour. And so here you are back on the air again, sir. And that evidence...
Well, I've lived all over this planet. I've worked in the same industry that you're in with a great amount of intimacy, and I've known and had the pleasure of several presidents. And I'm the son of a physician. I'm 60 years old. I've lived under socialized medicine. When I said socially irresponsible, Art, I mean I am a firm believer that of government, of the people, by the people, and for the people. I believe that that's a basic premise of the United States of America, which I love very dearly. In fact, I'm something of a flag waver. I've been endorsed for my defense of the American flag.
All right, well, let's even throw in motherhood and apple pie and
sure.
Be done with it. And now let's see what you mean by socially irresponsible.
Well, yes. I'm calling you from Seattle. Now I've switched over my little radio that I got from your company back there, that little port of vision or whatever it's called.
Sea Crane.
I'm on 570K KFI now.
KBI.
Okay, KBI. Okay.
Big important difference.
Let's talk about children. You know, I was walking down the street here in Seattle, which is one of the finest cities in the United States of America.
Yes.
And I saw deprived children. And here in Seattle, we have a tendency, I think so, more so than most communities in the United States of America, to take care of the disadvantaged. But we are losing our touch in the United States of serving the needs of our people. Children. When I was in the United States Air Force, Armed Forces Radio and Television Service, back in the 50s in Europe, I was living in England. I was certainly covered, by the health plan that we had in the military, but as an alien, we were also covered by the British Health Service. And Art, it opened up my eyes. It was a delight to have the milkman deliver cod liver oil, milk, and things that we just don't do in the United States of America. And I've lived in Germany. I've lived in Sweden. I've worked, for all of the networks.
All right, we already went over this. I still don't quite understand how it is you're suggesting conservatives are as you suggest they are.
All right, let me give you a real good one.
I mean, for example, before you give me a good one, you've given me a lot here. Let me give you one thing to chew on.
Yes, sir.
During the Reagan years, for example,
yes, sir.
Funding increased greatly to help children, contrary to what people have said in the past. I mean, it actually increased. So,
may I disagree with that very strongly?
Well, you may. You may. Yes.
Yes, sir. Now, when Mr. Reagan. Let me start with him when he was elected the governor of California. One of the first things that gentleman did that affected my children, that affected anybody's children, he cut funds for children in schools.
You talking about the lunch
thing? Kindergarten, Art, if you take a pencil away from a youngster or cut their funding, that hurts our nation. Let me give you another one.
Well, all right, there's not going to be time. Thank you very much for the call. But, in fact, during the Reagan years, general funding that was available for children increased, did not decrease. As did, by the way, most of our social spending. Does that surprise you to hear? Go back and actually check into it. Check into the totality of the record. Not just one specific school lunch thing or anything else. Check into the totality of the record regarding spending for our children during those years. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Hello.
Good evening, Art.
Good evening.
This is Albuquerque.
Yes, sir.
I had a comment on Linda Thompson and her tape and some of the things that people have been mentioning, including your caller here a little while ago, about some of the technical things, aspects of it, especially the part of where the track vehicle backs out of the building and there's a supposed flame there, which has also been called a reflection or a Vidicom tube camera flare.
Or a piece of drywall wallboard hanging from it, yes.
Right. Well, I have access to an ADO 2000. I don't know if you know what that is. It's a digital video effects unit.
Yes.
And I expanded it in there, and it's exactly what Linda says it is. It's fire. And you can see smoke. You can see the flame.
Well, it may well be fire, but what we're being told is that if you view the rest of the film, Linda cuts it at that point. She cuts it, and there's about a 40-minute jump, I'm told, to the next scene, which is of the building enveloped in fire. Now, if you continue with the tank backing out, I'm told by a lot of people who seem to know that you would see the wallboard on there. Indeed, it was burning. So that's different than a flame-throwing tank.
Well, I'm not necessarily saying it's a flame-throwing tank.
But that was the charge, you see.
Well, I'm saying that there is fire there.
Yes.
And there is smoke there.
Yes.
And as you look at it, you
that,
don't...
That, sir, is not in dispute.
Well, the thing is that when you expand it and look at it, you don't see anything stuck there.
Well, that's because you don't have enough of the film to keep watching.
Well, I would think that you would still see something there because you can see the flame kind of curl under the tank at that point.
Yeah,
and
not necessarily, sir. If that wallboard was on fire, then you would see the fire. It would appear as fire, and it did appear as fire.
Well, I know, but there's enough of the video there that as I watched it, You can watch the flame kind of curl back underneath the tank, and you don't see anything else burning at that point. It kind of dissipates at that point.
Mm.
And that's just before she does cut away from it. And now I'm not saying anything about her editing or anything like that because I can't, you know, without having seen all the footage that was available for her to be utilizing for that.
Of course, we can't know.
I can't question that aspect of it. But
I think that arguing about this one scene is not really productive. I think that the overall tape that she had was devastating. I think that what happened at Waco was devastating. And I'm sorry there's a great dispute about this one scene because...
Right. Well, can I make a suggestion for yourself and anybody else out there who is listening that has the tape is that I'm sure for you yourself, being in broadcasting as many years as you have, you probably know somebody who works at a TV station or a production facility, and if there's anybody out there who would like to call their local TV stations or whatever and see if they can go down and take a look at it for themselves, that might at least for themselves.
I want to see this
give
other...
Give them an idea of what's there.
All right, sir, thank you. I want to see the rest of the tape. That's what I want to see. I want to get a copy of the rest of the tape. And so if it exists, and if the wallboard is clearly hanging on the tank as it pulls back, I want a copy of that, and then I will comment. On the first-time caller line, you're on the air. Hello.
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 Hi, this is Dave from Kodiak, Alaska.
Kodiak, Alaska. Hi, Dave.
Yeah. Hi, I tore open the Revelation seals in 1989, and I'd like to tell you where they are. They're in the San Bernardino Main Branch Library, San Bernardino, California. They're in the Old Testament in art and the New Testament in art. And
wait a minute. You're saying you tore open the seals? All seven seals? All seven of them?
Yes, I took. Yes.
And
with my right index finger.
Yes, and you, where'd you find them?
They're at the San Bernardino Main Branch Library.
You mean you actually,
in art.
You actually found them there?
Yes. The Holy Spirit guided me to the seals. And Psalm 89:19 was 1989. The event happened.
And you and then you left them there?
There, yeah, they're there. And you can tell which pages were sealed because the tears will fit together like puzzle pieces. Yeah, they're there.
I bet you're trying to cause trouble for that library.
No, I'm not. No.
Hold it. Why would you call and tell me something like this?
To let you know that the Word of God is active and it's happening, and the seals are mentioned in Revelations chapter 5, and within one of the seals that I tore open, it says, after a long course history of misunderstanding and stagnant potholes in religion, the truth of truths and the mystery of mysteries is revealed. And I found there's something about a hidden birth. And I went through the light numerology of the scriptures, and just so happens it fits my birthday, which is 3/15, 1959. I tore open the seals when I was 30 years old. And I've been considering it since 1989,
that's it. All right, sir. I appreciate your call. I don't know how to react to that. Kodiak Island, Alaska. Why would he call and say that? Intriguing. Absolutely intriguing. And this is why I'm in talk radio. This really has to be one of the most unusual businesses that anybody could be in. I swear to you, every time I think I've heard it all, I quickly realize I have not. So I don't know how to take what we just heard. You make your own analysis. But I'll tell you, it was on Kodiak Island, I could tell. On the wild card line, you're on the air.
Good morning, Art. This is Stan in San Diego, and for that gentleman that liked it so much, listening to you on Hot Talk Hogo.
Yes. I that was a strange call, wasn't it?
That one, Art, you're getting a veritable plethora of strange calls.
I really am. It's a full moon, you know.
I was going to say, is it still full from last night?
It is, but that doesn't diminish the fascinating aspect of a lot of the calls.
No, absolutely not. You didn't even ask for aliens to call in or anything like that.
No, I didn't even open an alien line.
No.
I'm getting people who have been... Well, I don't want to say touched, but people who perhaps have been touched by the hand of God or somebody else.
Or touched in some way. Or as they used to say, touched.
Touched, yeah, touched.
Well, I called about you. You proposed a question at the top of your program. I don't know if it has been addressed or not, about our president extending most favored nation status.
To China, yes.
Yes. And... I think this is going to be a question of he's going to do the right thing for wrong reasons.
That's probably correct. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's going to be a bitter pill though, considering the criticisms he made of George Bush.
Well, that's still in keeping with his agenda. I mean, he did that. He criticized George Bush about his Haiti policy.
Oh yes.
He's developing a whole wonderful Haiti policy here.
They must have a policy. There is no retreat too great.
All right, I waited for time. Take me off the air. I need to speak to you off the air. I'll hold until I'll hold on my dime. It's very important.
It is, huh?
Yes, very, very important. It's on your behalf. I'll wait till the break.
All right. I'll put you on hold. Stand by. And let's see. Can I create a break? Why, yes, I can. I can actually create a break right now. So let me do that and take care of business and get that line clear. We'll be right back. On the toll-free line, you're on the air. Hello.
Yes, sir. I'm calling from Washington.
Yes, sir.
Mount Rainier, Washington. And I was calling to say in regards to angels, I am actually an angel. I believe I am. And
Why do you believe? I can't let that go by. Why do you believe you're an angel?
Well, okay, let's put it as what you would say, a Holy Spirit.
Why do you think you're a Holy Spirit?
Well, because I believe I am. I've had too many experiences in my life to prove that I am.
Like what?
Death.
Death?
I've had a death experience before, and during my death experience, I experienced the word. I wasn't religious until this happened, and it's not really religion. It's fact. I know I dropped dead, and I heard my mind, my spirit, or whatever it was, take off at a speed of sound that was unbelievable. I experienced thousands of words at one time, like reading an encyclopedia.
Sir, how did you die?
I was with some friends, and we were talking, and I turned to talk to one of my friends, and the next thing I knew, I was out. I was blacked out. But what only thing I want to relate to you about what happened was, is that the word love came up, and it came up in letter L, and then there was like seemed like a thousand words between that and then the letter O, and then the letter V, and then the letter E, and I was standing up straight with my arms stretched out like in the position of a cross. And anyway, I was changed after that. I was a totally changed person.
Were you high?
No, I wasn't high.
Were you drunk?
No, I wasn't drunk.
Were you impaired in any way?
No, I wasn't. This was an absolute natural experience. I was high on the fact that I was a very kind of a punk. I would spit on a retarded person. I would be the worst person you could ever imagine behind my friend's back.
That's pretty bad. You would spit on a retired person?
Retarded.
Oh, that's even worse.
Yeah. But anyway, what I'm saying is that now that you see, Jesus and Mary and God aren't the only ones who have Holy Spirits. We all have Holy Spirits. I'm sure I've heard the speed of thought of what that word was conducted to me, and I had no control over it. It wasn't human power that brought me back to life. But anyway, you're gonna
who verified you died?
Myself and. A few of my friends just said that I was flopping around on the floor like in convulsions, and I would say it was death because at that point I stopped all human thought.
All right, sir. All right. Well, I've really got to run along, but I'm beginning to see some holes in this story. Can you see a few holes there? Flopping around on the floor, there was no doctor in attendance. I'm not saying people don't flop after they're dead, but for the most part, they don't. For the most part, they're dead. So it may have been that you did not clinically expire. It may be that in your own mind you died. And I'm not fully disputing your story. I'm just saying that as it went on there, I began to see a few holes developing. On the wild card line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, Art.
Hello.
Jose from Honolulu here.
Yes, sir.
And I want to talk to you about gold. You've been asking somebody
gold.
To call you about gold.
Gold, yes, gold.
I know you love it, but to tell you about myself, I'm a jeweler.
Yes.
So I live with the stuff daily.
So you're not so entranced with it, huh?
Well, you know, after you get over the initial beauty of it, and once you live with her for a long time, you get to know her very well.
And then pretty soon you take her for granted.
Well, besides that.
Well, then, you know, after a while what happens when you do that is she'll just walk right out.
Well, you know, I have my theories about gold.
Yes.
Which, you know, it might go in line with today's calls. Kind of, you know, the lunatics are out tonight, I noticed.
Well, are you lumping yourself in?
Well, yeah, might. But let me tell you about my little theory about gold real fast.
Real fast, yeah.
Anyway, I believe there are gold gods who, you know, in my job, I get cut, burnt a lot.
Bad gold.
And listen.
Bad gold.
And I believe that these gods require tribute from jewelers who make their living from gold.
From gold.
Yes, and luckily these gods are in wholesale, so they don't take it all at once. Just take a little pain at a time, just over a long period of time.
All right. Goodbye, I must go.
Stick to tune of it, Art. Stick to tune of it.
Yeah. All right, goodbye. God, that was great. All right, that's it. I'm off to the world of shortwave, and I will put an appearance on 3890 or 92. There was a vicious virus of a signal on there last night. It was hard to hear anything. So I'll crank up the shortwave rig and go on 3.892, say, lower sideband or first clear near that. Thank you all. It was another wonderful session of talk radio, and we'll do this tomorrow at whatever time we normally join you. Take care.